other commissioners are able to join us, then we'll include them. I'm calling the South End Landmark District Commission public hearing to order at 5:35 p.m. on October 6, 2020. You can participate in this hearing by going to our Zoom meeting link found on the public notice page or calling 929-205-6066 and entering meeting ID 844-6754-8328 pound. You can also submit written comment via email to southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks using the hashtag #SEOCT6Hearing. Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing to review design review applications. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we are conducting this meeting online. To ensure public access to the deliberations of the South End Landmark District Commission, the public may access the call through telephone and video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your questions to staff via email at southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag #SEOCT6Hearing. We will be repeating these instructions during the public comment period for each application. So we're ready to go to the design review applications. And the first application is application 20.0299 for Ringgold Street. Is the applicant here and ready to present?
Yes, I am. So I'm Marcus Springer from Springer Architects.
Hi, Marcus.
Hello. Good to see you all again. I have 8 slides. This presentation is an amendment to the application that was approved about a year ago at the same time. What has occurred basically during the COVID shutdown, we had an opportunity to look at the top floor design again. The application is concerning the fourth floor and the rear facade of the fourth floor, so it's above the cornice line. So this is the existing fourth floor bedroom. It had a long, narrow room with very little light and a small window with the master bath beside it. Then if you go to the next slide. This was the existing roof deck. And then the next slide. This is the existing front facade looking onto Ringgold Park, and this is the existing rear facade. So we are concerned with the very top floor, those two windows and the fire escape. The windows in question were not big enough for egress to get onto the fire escape. So we plan them to be larger. They're also not symmetrical with the windows below. So instead we've designed two banks of 2/2 windows that also comply with the fire code to escape onto the fire escape. Then if you go to the next slide, so this is the new fourth floor plan. We have rotated the master bedroom to a span along the entire rear facade with, as you see, as I mentioned, two 2/2 banks of windows into there, and also allowing for the escape onto the exterior fire escape. The sills have to be a minimum of 40, maximum of 44 inches from the floor, and these are 42. So the windows are right on the cornice line and rise to the eaves. If you go to the next slide. That's the roof deck, which has already been approved. And then the next slide. So this is the look from the rear facade. So there's the two banks of 2/2 at the cornice line with the fire escape and the roof deck railing. And then the final slide are two photographs from either end of the alley. So the shed dormer on 4 Ringgold is, if you see the one, you can see one dormer, that's number 3.
So it's the next dormer along is number four. And then on the greenery side, you can see in kind of the center of the photo, I've got some red caution tape there, and that's the roof deck. So that was from the earlier presentation. But so it's kind of mid-block, and you're not going to see it very much, but the design in question is which we would like to have your approval tonight, is the two banks of 2/2 wood-clad windows that sit on the cornice line and go to the eaves. That's it.
Okay. Thanks very much, Marcus. So we're going to go to questions from commissioners. Do I have any commissioners with questions about the presentation?
I just have one simple question, which is maybe a comment too. Paired windows like that are not common in the South End. Would you consider spreading them out so that there were mullions between each of the windows?
Yes, absolutely. And we have looked at that for structural issues as well, because the header would be quite large. So we can spread those apart and have, let's say, like a 4x4 between kind of thing.
Yeah, whatever works out.
Tagging on to the end of that suggestion, John, and I was hoping you would make that suggestion. I'm wondering if in the process of doing that, Marcus, if you could just make the windows slightly more slender. Their proportion is not quite as, doesn't have the sense of verticality that the other windows below it have. And even though we don't have jurisdiction over the rear facade, you do see them together. So the rear facade below the cornice line, I meant to say. We do see them together. So if they were just like, and you might have to make them more slender in order to do what John suggested, but I'm just asking that you maybe pay attention to that proportion.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
I agree.
That would be great. I'm sorry that I didn't go to other commissioners first. Any other questions from other commissioners? I think we just have David, or is Fabian also on?
I'm on, but I have no questions.
Okay, great. Thanks, Fabian.
Catherine is here too.
Oh, great. I didn't notice your presence, Catherine. Do you have any questions about this portion? I hear none. So I think we'll go to comments. Do we have any commissioners with comments that they would like to make on this?
Not beyond that.
Okay. Great. And I don't have any other ones myself. If that being the case, are there any other comments? Do commissioners have any other further comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I don't think we have any other comments.
Okay.
I propose to approve, given the adoption of suggestions that were made during the meeting just now.
John seconded. And Mary, are you clear on what those provisos are?
Yes, so four windows with a mullion in between each one and more slender.
Correct. So that's the motion and it's been seconded. We can go to public comment then, Mary. Mm-hmm. And I need the script for that. So members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag #SEOCT6Hearing. So, Joe, do we have anyone raising their hands?
I don't see anyone raising their hand, and I don't have any messages coming in.
Okay. So that would suggest we can go to a vote. Is that right, Joe?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, great. So I'll do a roll call vote. Can we just confirm who all is here? We have David, Fabian, John, and Catherine.
I don't see Diana, so I guess, and, yes.
Okay, I don't want to miss anybody. David.
Yes.
Fabian.
Hi.
John.
Yes.
Catherine. Do we have Catherine, or is she just on mute?
She is. She's here. I'm having trouble with her audio.
Okay.
Catherine, give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
I can't see her picture in my view, so somebody will have to let me know how she's voting if you see her. Is she? Does she have video?
Yes. Yeah, I can see her video.
Okay. So, Catherine?
It looks like a thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Okay. Great. Thank you. And I vote with the motion. So, the motion carries. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you very much. Much appreciated.
You're very welcome.
It's always Catherine's audio.
So, the next application is 21.0052, which is 131 Dartmouth Street. Is the applicant here for that and ready to present?
Yes, I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Please give us your name for the record.
My name is Mark Conserva. I'm with Metro Sign and Awning, representing the owner of the building. Our proposal is for signage, one new sign and two replacement signs. I will read the proposal first and then get your comments if you don't mind.
That's fine. Go right ahead.
Okay, location number one, you can follow along in the drawings I submitted. Yeah, you have them here. Thank you. It's a double-sided blade sign located on the building facade, above and between the garage entry and exit. It's an internal LED illumination. It's an aluminum cabinet with painted dark blue and routed for white 3/16-inch acrylic letter P. The mounting is an aluminum support bracket welded to the aluminum mounting plate attached to the facade coping with epoxy anchors. The size is 30 inches high by 30 inches wide by 8 inches in depth, equals 6.3 square feet on either side. Total projection with the support bracket is 36 inches, and only the P is illuminated. Would you like to discuss that sign, or should I continue with the other rest of the proposal?
I think you can continue with the rest of the proposal.
Location 2 and 2A, they're double-sided. They're existing now, and we're to replace them. Double-sided freestanding monument signs to replace the existing internally illuminated freestanding signs. So they're internally illuminated now. At the entrance and exit of the parking garage, internal LED illumination, aluminum sign cabinets are painted gray and routed for 3/16-inch acrylic graphics. Graphics are colored with vinyl overlay. The colors are white P on dark blue vinyl face overlay, red face with white automobile emblem, red letter set caution, dark gray letter set vehicles exiting when light is flashing. Existing signs to be removed with the installation of the new signs in the same location with aluminum posts embedded in concrete. The sizes are 48 inches high by 18 inches wide by 16 inches in depth. And of course, only the graphics are illuminated. That is the proposal.
Okay. Thank you very much. So I'll go to questions now from commissioners. Do commissioners have questions?
Not really. No questions.
I'll then take comments if there are no further questions.
Okay. I think I don't know how the previous signs were approved. Perhaps they weren't, but generally internally illuminated signs are not allowed in the South End. We require signs you can have reflected light from them. I think a flashing light warning, a warning light can be an exception, but to have the P and the red caution illuminated all night doesn't seem in keeping with the South End signage. It's not in keeping with the regulations.
Okay, yeah, that's a good summary. John, do any of the other, any other commissioners have comments you'd like to make on this?
I agree with John. Sounds like he pretty much covered it.
By the way, Mary, is Catherine able to communicate with you or Joe in case Catherine, she has comments?
Can anyone hear me?
Oh, yeah, we hear you.
I can hear you now.
We can hear you.
Wow.
All right.
I had to leave the meeting, and then I dialed in on a different number, so that seemed to work. So
great.
Okay. Well,
sorry.
We're happy to have you.
I hope so, but I'm not so sure.
So any comments on this signage application, Catherine?
I'll have to recuse myself. I wasn't able to hear any of the presentation.
Okay.
How tall is the existing sign?
This is signage approximately the same, approximately 48 inches.
Okay.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
This building, by the assessor's records, was constructed in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine it was reviewed by the South End Landmarks District Commission at that time, and it was allowed. I believe they started reviewing these applications. It was either in 1983 or 1999. So it must have been reviewed by them in the past. And there is a safety issue here.
Understood, Mark. Mark, I just want to let you know that when we hear applications for new buildings, they almost never include the signage that goes along with them. And we often get subsequent applications or not from the applicant at a later date that comes to us with the signage. So it's not necessarily true that we were presented with and approved the signage that's currently there. I'm not quite sure of the status of that. Mary, do you know if the signage that is there was approved? Do we have any records of that?
I haven't been able to locate anything.
John and I were both here.
That's right.
In 2001, I hate to admit it. And we did review this building extensively. And I do not remember a signage master plan. I think it was subsequent to that, that we began requiring a signage master plan.
Mm-hmm. But it certainly was at that time, we were not approving internally illuminated signs. So
never have.
Yeah, I can't remember a case where we have. And Mark, regarding the safety issue, Commissioner Freeman made the comment that, you know, we would consider an exception for the flashing light for exiting cars. That would be, because that's not, it's not on all the time. It's only on when a car is exiting. So that would be an exception we would consider making. But regarding there, we haven't approved internally illuminated signs as long as those of us present have been on the commission.
May you be amenable to exteriorly lit sign, and what I'd like to propose, and actually I didn't get the drawing until yesterday. I sent it to Mary, and I'm sure she hasn't had a chance to look at it. She's been doing her work for this meeting, I'm sure. But basically it's a LED strip that's concealed within the frame of the sign, underneath or within a decorated cove cap. And the light washes down either from the top, bottom, or sides subtly over the sign. So it is externally illuminated. And we've used it before. And as a matter of fact, we've gotten very good comments from the BPDA on that. So I would like to ask the board if they would consider that type of situation. It seems like it would work perfectly here. I think we need some lighting just for safety issues.
We agree with the lighting. We have approved that kind of illumination before. We'd need another submission, a drawing that shows it.
I actually do have it if you'd like to see it.
Oh, you already did it. Excellent.
Yeah, Mary, please show us.
Great. One second.
Mark, you came prepared.
Well, not until very late, I'll say that.
Can everyone see this?
I do.
Okay.
And you can see the cove frame, and and the LED strip is concealed within that cove frame, and it washes across. That frame can either be like it shows on top and to the side, or it could be on top and the bottom, or both sides, whichever you would like. But of course, the LED strip is not visible, but it is considered externally illuminated.
I think this is fine. There's no internal illumination. The two LED strips are the only illumination.
That's correct.
Yeah, I think this is
right. This would work. Mark, I would suggest that the vertical strip is on the sidewalk side of the sign in both cases, but the signs are placed mirror image of each other in reality. So the picture on the right, for instance, the lower picture would have to be the view from the garage, or you'd have to reverse where the location is of the vertical strip. Because otherwise we're seeing the light source and we don't want to see the light source.
So how will you do the, John's absolutely correct. How will you do the blade sign? Can you do that the same way?
We can do that the same way. We'll have to come up with some sort of design, but I believe it can be done the same way.
Great.
Somehow. Now, so are you saying you would only want the cove strip on the sidewalk side on the side of the sign, not on the top of the sign? Is that correct?
Oh, you could do the top. I was just referring to the side.
I understand.
John just doesn't want to see it
I
as you walk by.
John, thank you.
Right. Yeah, the top would be acceptable and the side would be acceptable as long as in both instances it's on the sidewalk side.
Certainly. Certainly. And we will attempt to come up with a proposal for that blade sign.
You could do a complete ring cove, even if you only have the LED strip in the top portion of it, you know, just so that the cove itself is covering, you know, is doing a complete circumference around the sign so it doesn't look like a partial cove.
I understand. That's very good.
And if you illuminated it from the bottom portion of the cove rather than the top portion, we would never see the light.
Right.
The light source.
Right.
I think it's pretty well concealed the way it is because it's fairly hidden in that U. Mm-hmm. But I still think your point's valid.
Okay. Great. So, so I think we have the makings of a motion here if somebody would like to venture forth.
All right, I'll make a motion to accept the second proposal as presented. And the first, the blade sign, will be remanded to staff with the direction that it be a similar lighting type.
And could we amend your motion to say that on the monumental freestanding signs that the side cove always be on the sidewalk side?
Amendment accepted.
Thank you. So we have a motion with an amended, with an accepted amendment. Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay, thank you, Fabian. So we'll go to public comment then.
Sorry, hold on.
Yep.
I enjoy seeing your playlist.
Oh, thanks. Sorry, I gotta stop my share for a second. Sorry, my screen has frozen. Technology, right?
Mm-hmm.
My computer is completely frozen. I may have to restart.
We won't go away. Take your time.
Joe, you wouldn't be able to email me the script, would you?
No, I don't. I don't have it.
Well, then we'll wait.
Sorry.
That's right.
I thought it was a great idea to have it in the presentation.
I should have it memorized.
It's probably going back and forth.
John, do you want me to email it to you? Is that what you need?
The script wasn't emailed to us. The script. Not the agenda, not the comments. But the...
Yeah, the script. But we had that from the last night's subcommittee, right? Emailed.
That was emailed.
Yes.
I could.
Can you find it? Or okay.
I could probably find that.
Catherine, you're a genius.
Yeah, great idea.
That makes my day, Joe. I don't know if I'm a stable genius.
You can't ask for everything.
I'm sorry. I have to restart my computer.
Okay, Mary, hang in there. It's so frustrating.
Can you make me the host before you go, or probably not?
I did. I made you a co-host.
Okay.
But I'm going to make you the host right now, since I will be gone for a second. All right, I'll be back in a second.
Okay. Are you finding that email, John, or you want me to search?
The email, each email had something like 6 or 7 attachments, and script yeah. wasn't in the name of the attachment until you
no,
opened.
But,
so,
yeah.
So that's why I'm having trouble finding the exact attachment that has the script in it.
Understood. I'm gonna search also.
Oh, I found it.
You got it? Okay.
I do.
Same time I did. Okay, great.
Thank you. So members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your questions to staff via email at southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks and using the hashtag #SEOCT6Meeting. Okay, Joe, do we have anybody with comments or questions?
No one's raising their hand, and we don't have any messages coming in.
Okay. So that would suggest we can go to a vote. And I will take a roll call, starting with Catherine.
Well, I was going to recuse myself because I wasn't able to hear the presentation.
Oh, okay. Fine. So then John Freeman.
Yes.
Fabian?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. David?
Yeah. Yes.
And the chair votes with the motion, so the motion carries. This was for the signage at Dartmouth Street. And we do have, hold on one second. Joe, would it be okay for me to call the next application up?
Yes, yep.
Okay, because I have the agenda in any case. So the application 21.0032, which is 48 Union Park, and the proposed scope was at the stoop, replace the pipe rail with a decorative handrail. And this is a continuation from an August 4th 2020 public hearing with the South End. Is the applicant here for that?
Yes. Hi, good evening. This is Norberto Leon, the architect for the project.
Hello, Norberto.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Looks like Mary might be back.
I am. Can everyone see my screen now?
We can.
Yes.
All right. Yep. I'm terribly sorry about that. Very embarrassing. Sorry.
Don't even worry about it.
No, I already forgot, Mary.
Okay, good. Phew. All right, let me just get this to full screen and we will be set to go. And I'm not changing my screen for the rest of the night. So if you guys want to see anything tough, I'm just kidding. Norberto, is this the correct drawing? Rita sent it to me separately.
We're still seeing the previous application, Mary.
Okay, hold on. How about now?
That's the correct one, Mary. Thank you.
Okay, great.
Okay, so the proposal is for a new railing on the existing stairs. And we've gone back and forth And the last time we came with a proposal that was very similar to this railing. The difference here from the previous proposal is that we had three balusters per tread. And the reason why we had that was in order to comply with the building code requirement for the maximum separation between balusters. And the board was skeptical of making that work with the existing stair and not damaging the treads. So we've had some conversations after that, and we had a discussion with the building inspector, and he's agreed to allow us to have a greater separation between the balusters. And we've reduced the number from 3 to 2 balusters per tread, which is in more in accordance with what is typically, what was typically built in on the street. Other examples that we showed at the last presentation. All other components are by the Lawler Ironworks fabrication. And that's the only difference here in terms of the number of balusters from 3 to 2. And the inspector agreed to let us do this because it's better than what's existing right now, which is just a 1.5-inch pipe rail that is has no balusters at all, no fall protection at all. So we would respectfully submit this design proposal for you guys and get your feedback. And that's it for tonight.
Norberto, thank you very much for responding to our comments from the last time. Appreciate it. So any questions from fellow commissioners? I'm not hearing any.
I guess I have a question with regard to the distance between. Can you hear me?
Yes, Fabian, go on.
Yes.
Fabian, now we can't hear you.
Now he's frozen.
He's frozen.
I think this is a great movement in the correct direction. Oh. Can you?
No, I'm not. I hope I'm not frozen.
Okay. You were.
Yeah, you were.
Oh, boy. Fun. Okay.
Fabian, go ahead.
The question is there supposed to be any prescribed distance between the two balusters on each tread, you know, in terms of how they're laid out?
Yes,
and
that's...
It's a question that...
Yes.
Go ahead.
The maximum spacing per code is 4 inches, and we're showing more than 4 inches in order to achieve the 2 baluster per tread. The treads are about 13.5 inches deep, typically. So that's how we end up with, you know, greater separation than four.
So that's like 6.75 on center minus the thickness of a baluster, which is probably 3/4 of an inch. So you're at probably 6 inches gap between
Correct.
Each baluster.
Correct.
Which was what was the original. But I think as was it John Neal pointed out, these aren't similar, or I'm remembering incorrectly, to the original balusters. And I wondered if we could find, John, you're more familiar with this than I am, a baluster that was more similar to the historic ones.
Well, John pointed out that, I think he said that 42 Union Park was original. And are you, yeah. And I'm trying to look up what that looks like. unless of course Mary wanted to go there, but she is reluctant to leave.
I can pull it up.
Okay.
I've got it too.
They're relatively simple, Ballister, if I'm remembering correctly.
They are, but they're actually not that dissimilar from what's being proposed, John. They're a simple baluster with a slight ornament at the midpoint, at the vertical midpoint between top and bottom.
Well, I'm looking at Google Maps, and maybe I'm confused about which is the
correct one. I'm not at 40. I'm not at 42. 42 is...
It's the one with the sort of basket ironwork in front of the bays. And I think it's, I can't see the number.
Yeah, I can't.
46, maybe? It's hard to see it. It's.
I think 42 has the 6/6 windows in the front at the parlor level.
Yeah. Can everyone see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay. I think
turn to the right.
Yeah, this is number 42. Yes.
Yeah, but no, go to the right, because it was what John referred to in my memory was the ones that had the basket ironwork. So keep going to the right.
He definitely said that number 42 had original railings. I remember that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, what are the railings on the, if you're sure, that's fine.
This look is at the 42 ones. And this is 44.
Yeah, but look at the next one. And the next one is the one that has the basket ironwork. It's hard to see it in the Google, but it's a much heavier baluster and a bit more ornate. I thought we'd have to check, but I thought this was the one he was referring to because it had the remaining ironwork in front of the on the bay. Mm-hmm.
I think it was number 42, and okay. I say that because the specific point that you were debating was whether or not the balusters should be drilled directly into the tread, and number 46 has this bottom rail.
Got it. Okay, right. You're right.
And that was the point that John Neal was making. He was trying to let us know that would be a reason to make an exception here because the original rails for a similar building had balusters going into the treads.
Okay, I do remember that.
So, and 42's pickets are similar to the one being proposed here. So, this may or may not be possible or even a good idea, but I am going to say it anyway, that when we, you know, I do a lot of rails a lot into pavement and steps in my line of work. And I often use what we call an escutcheon plate at the base of a picket or post that goes into a tread that would cover the epoxy opening that goes around the picket as it goes into the masonry, you know, because the opening would be larger than the picket and then you would epoxy around it. And to protect that, you know, grouted insert, we would have an escutcheon plate. It would be very low profile, something that wouldn't call attention to itself. But is that something you think you could do here?
I'll look at to see if the manufacturer has something. I haven't quite seen anything like that from them, but I can double check. I don't think it's a bad idea because ultimately what that's doing is actually preventing water from accumulating within the
grouted
hole necessary, but it's you know going to be you're going to see the grout in there around the bottom of the baluster.
Right, and you wouldn't see that visually, and it's not only an aesthetic benefit, but it protects the embedment from freeze-thaw, which is what we're concerned about because we don't want to see the treads crack in the future.
So I can look into that, and see if that's something that can already come pre-manufactured or if there's something that we can do custom.
Right. And I would recommend either choosing or designing something that is very low profile without, you know, without a lot of detail, just a simple, you know, escutcheon plate that the picket can go through and that would cover the embedment. Mm-hmm. So, and that would be something I would be willing to see remanded to staff.
Okay.
Mary, can you zoom in on the top left part of the page?
Yes.
John, I just want to make sure that you're in agreement with which baluster Norbert has picked and not one of the ones mm-hmm. to the...
Right. Yeah, I reviewed this earlier before the meeting, so good. I was aware of the one being proposed.
Cool.
And including the newel post on the left that would go at the top of the stairs. And Norberto, you are using the existing newel post at the bottom, is that correct?
That is correct.
But only that only exists on one side. Newel posts on both sides?
It's on both sides.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So on both sides, you're using the existing newel post.
Correct.
At the bottom. Okay, great. Thank you. So,
Then are you ready for a motion then?
I am.
Great. I'll make a motion to approve this as presented.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Catherine. Do you have the script handy, Mary, for public comment, or shall I go to
I do.
That's great. Okay. Thank you. So members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag #SEOCT6Hearing. Do we have anybody raising their hand, Joe?
Not presently. We do have one email message from Brian Hasseltine of 46 Union Park. Brian, are you joining us? If not, I can read your comment. Okay. The railing proposal for 48 Union Park doesn't look like what is commonly found in the South End. How is this railing designed in relationship to the design of the new fence on this property? Wouldn't a bottom rail be more fitting rather than the balusters embedded directly into the stone stair treads, especially since those stairs are in such rough, unlevel condition? Wouldn't South End Landmarks want a design more fitting to the Union Park neighborhood? And I believe that's already been answered in that the South End Historical Society has identified an original stair baluster on the street. So I don't know, does the applicant want to respond any further?
I agree with everything that you just said. And I think that we've gone over this, a couple of examples that are on the street that are quite similar to what we're proposing. So I do believe it is in keeping with what is existing and was common practice at the time that the buildings were constructed.
Great, thank you. And John, I don't see any other comments, so I think we can close public comment.
Okay, great. Thanks, Joe. So we'll go to a vote then. I'll do a roll call. John Freeman?
Yes.
Great. Fabian?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Catherine?
Yes.
And the chair votes with the motion, so the motion carries.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and thank you for being so responsive, Norberto. We appreciate it.
Yes, thanks very much.
Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, we'll go to the next application then, which is 21.0234, which is 570 Mass Ave. And is the applicant here for that?
While you're looking, John, I think it's important we also note that the ISD approved and was willing to understand the historic model, and that's a good thing.
That is a really good thing. And Norberto, if you're still on, thank you for getting that that opinion from ISD. And the scope of work for 570 Mass Ave is to install a gate at the garden level stairwell. Do we have an applicant ready? While we're waiting, Joe or Mary, would you just like to indicate whether we should take public comment even if we don't have an applicant here?
I think in the past we have asked for public comment even if the applicant is not here. You just don't vote on it.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. I would suggest, why don't we skip to the next one and see if they come a little later?
Okay.
Part of the reason we take public comment is on something when an applicant doesn't show up is because if people have made a huge effort to come all the way down to City Hall,
right?
We wanted to respect that. Maybe it's not necessary in a Zoom meeting.
People have taken time out of their schedule to participate, so I would still want to offer the same opportunity. And it was listed on the agenda. So Mary, are you willing to go to the next application then?
Sure, we can do that.
Commissioners, this is Gabby. I'll just add quickly that I did receive a phone call from this applicant a couple days ago, and she did say, you know, she fully intended on appearing, so it might be best to just wait.
Okay. We have a similar application coming up next. It's Mary, it's 21.0222, correct?
Yes, that sounds correct.
Which is 1746 to 17552 Washington
correct.
Street.
Maybe and you could go to that one and then just come back to this one if that works.
Yeah.
Okay.
So so the application is 21.0222. And it's 1746 to 1752 Washington Street. And the proposed work is to install a security gate and fence with intercom system.
Great. Everybody can hear me okay?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, good evening to everybody. My name is Derek Rubinoff. I'm Derek Rubinoff Architect with 82 Spring Street in West Roxbury, and representing the ownership of the building that's 1746 to 1752 Washington Street, which we're generally calling 1750 Washington Street. I think we have some folks from ownership on the line as well, including John Sullivan, various unit owners, or at least John's representative of the condo association. So thank you for taking the time to look at this. The proposal here is for a gate for the stoop that you see in the top left corner of the screen here. And before we kind of go into what this is, I'll just give you a little bit of a background. So this is at pretty much the corner of Washington and Massachusetts Avenue. And we're kind of around the corner from the methadone mile situation, Mass and Cass and all that. And because this area is kind of shaded and a little bit secluded, even though people are walking by, there are repeated, and when I say repeated, I have a copy of, I think it's 51 reports to 311. Boston 311 over the last 3 years of people calling or filing reports with 311 about needles to be cleaned up. I emailed Mary either earlier today or yesterday with a couple of emails from residents who have had not only to clear out people who are clearly using heroin on the steps, but also who are passed out, are urinating or defecating in that area. are yelling at the residents as they come in and out. And one of those emails that I forwarded talks about a resident who was cleaning up garbage that had been left behind by some of these people, and he actually stabbed himself accidentally with a needle and had to go on HIV meds for a month. So there is a market, I'm not exaggerating when I say there's a market problem here for the safety of the residents. There's, I'm going by memory here, I believe it's 11 units inside the building plus three commercial tenants. So a lot of people are using this door to come in and out of the building. This is the main door. There really isn't much of a back door at all to this building. And it is it's scary. So what I need to do here is show you a design for a gate. And if we go on to the next page, this is just some zoning information. If you go back one page, there's a little bit of a site plan there in the bottom right. So there's a restaurant at the bottom right corner that is closed right now because of the COVID situation, Bar Leon, unless they reopened recently, I'm not sure. And then I know the one to the left, the restaurant to the left, from what I understand, is closed permanently. So that has only aggravated the whole COVID situation, and these restaurants being closed or less used has aggravated the situation of people who are affected by the drug addiction problems occupying the stoop. Let's keep going here. Yeah, so these are some of the existing photos, and the reason why it's boarded up on the right, I think that was taken, a photo taken by me not too long after the disturbances downtown with in the wake of rioting and such. So Bar Leon got hit by that, but it gives you an idea about this, what the stair is. There's already an existing railing in the stair, as you can see. You enter between these two storefronts that were added on to these townhouses at some point in their history. And you go up the existing stairs, and then at the top, there's a really nice wood door with some arced tops to the panels. And on the right of the door is at the bottom left-hand corner, you can see that there is a buzzer system. And there is another box below that, which is the key for the mailman, postal worker. And there's a lockbox below that. And then if you turn around, that bottom center photograph, that's looking down. And again, that's where people tend to hang out. And I've explained the dangers with that and the garbage that they're leaving behind. If we go to the next slide. So what we would like to do here is put a gate. So what we did is looked at gates in the south end to try to find out what might be perhaps appropriate, at least looking in terms of what precedents are. So I've got this a little bit small on my screen. I'm going to blow this up a little bit, but you can see there's a variety of types. The two in the center, the top are fairly simple. The one on the top right is a little more innate. Some of these, generally they're fairly rectilinear. And again, this is kind of picking up from the previous conversations that I've already seen this evening. There's a lot of attention to detail, obviously, amongst this group, which I, as an architect, I very much appreciate. The top right has quite a bit of ornamentation and finials at the top, it looks like. Again, my screen's a little bit small at the moment. The top left, I know some of these have little kind of dart or flame. I'm not quite sure what the exact word is. They look like either dart heads or flame heads. And the bottom left has some X's going on there and a kind of a frame around the gate with smaller members in between, so most of them vertical, but some other directions as well. And then at the bottom middle, that's kind of similar. That's over at the community garden. I've listed all the addresses for these gates here, so we can verify these references. At the bottom right here, there's something that's quite curvy and wervy, which is rather pretty. You go to the next page, there's some more of these. We didn't stop with this group, we kept going.
Derek, but I'm gonna ask you to stop with this group because yep. It's not likely that we're gonna get into a discussion of the design of the gate.
John, can I jump in too?
As soon as I'm done. I think we're probably gonna have a discussion about whether a gate is appropriate or not. And then once we're done with that discussion, if we determine a gate is appropriate, we can then get back into the discussion of style.
Well, I have a thought about this. You know, gates periodically come up in the years that we've been here. There have been a number of times when this has become more of a problem and then it becomes less of a problem. And right now we're very aware of the of how much it is currently a problem. But gates weren't part of the South End vocabulary. And we, quite of those pictures, I have not, I don't think we've ever approved one. But I'm wondering if in this condition, could somebody mute that person?
Could somebody, could everyone please mute if you're not speaking?
In given that this is a condition that, you know, we don't want to force people into dealing with, if we could approve a temporary gate, especially because this is a very hidden front, but I would ask that it be designed not in the vocabulary of the South End, that it look like something temporary, and that it would be removed, you know, when things are improved. We know that the mayor is working very hard to solve this problem, but it's very sticky. So I just, this is a question to my fellow commissioners. As an alternative, just simply denying a gate, could we send them away with the possibility of a temporary gate that looks not like it's a historic model?
It's an interesting discussion, John. I just want to remind commissioners, particularly our newer commissioners, that we've reviewed a gate application at this property before, and we denied it.
I didn't remember that.
This isn't the first time this has come up for this particular property.
But when was that? I didn't know about that.
Oh, I don't remember what date it was, but I remember specifically this property, the staircase between the two projecting storefronts on Washington Street near Mass Ave. I mean, we've seen this before. And, you know, with a very similar explanation for the need of a gate, and we denied it for the reason that John mentioned. But John brings up an interesting suggestion that I think is worth discussion amongst commissioners. How do other commissioners feel about that?
Well, I'd like to chime in. You know, yes, we reviewed this exact same idea at this exact same location, and John is absolutely right, we denied it. Now, I know very well this situation. I lived around the corner for 18 years. We have many, many social issues that are going on. And I think we have some other proposals tonight that are based on that. If we start putting up gates and changing the built environment because of these social issues, we're going to live in a completely gated community. Somebody other than the Landmarks Commission has to address these issues. That's mm-hmm. the way I feel.
Yeah.
Agreed, Catherine. But what do you think of the thought of a gate that would be clearly temporary, have need a renewal?
No, I don't agree with that at all. It's like MIT puts up temporary buildings and then they're there for, 75 years. This temporary solution, I don't think is advisable at all.
Yeah, I think that we would have to define what temporary meant, and we'd have to establish if the original material would be drilled into to be able to accommodate that. I feel, I live not far from this area myself, and I feel for these neighbors. This is this situation has gotten to be terrible. So people have to be able to protect themselves against needles every time they walk out their door in some way. And I agree with Catherine as well that this is not something that we typically should be looking at. But I think we have to discuss a compromise of some sort. I don't know if that's the answer, but it's probably better than anything that I've been thinking of going into this meeting.
Right. For 15 years lived on Worcester Square, not far from this site. And I moved there in 91. when it was very, very dicey. And John's right about the cyclical nature of this. And to create a physical solution to something that's cyclical, that's ephemeral, is, I think, a mistake. You know, but when I moved to Worcester Square, I would have to move around people loitering on my own steps and pick up the detritus left behind by them, just as you described for this property. You know, but then after a number of years, the context changed and the problem disappeared. And it's probably back again for reasons you described, but may also disappear again. So, you know, I don't think, I think the notion of a temporary gate is interesting, but then how do you determine the criteria by which it can be removed? That, you know, once a temporary condition goes in, it's very difficult to, you know, tell an applicant or tell a homeowner that it's now okay to remove your temporary gate. What if they disagree at that time? So, you know, we may say the problem has gone away and they may disagree. So I think it would be difficult to call an end to the temporary condition.
I was thinking that if we charge Derek, I think Derek's a good designer. If we charge Derek or some of the other architects who come in here to design something that was clearly out of the vocabulary, the community preference would be to have it removed when it needed to be. I'm just suggesting something because I, you know, like David said, I feel for the people who live here and I understand how upsetting it is to have that going on.
Mm-hmm. So as someone who also lives not far from there, and has had everything from food wastes to used condoms to live fires being lit on my steps. You know, I feel enormously for what the people, what the residents of this building are facing. But I actually want to concur with the rest of my commission members because, you know, by building these barriers, we are therefore informing the city that, you know, we found solutions when in truth, this is a state and city problem that needs to be addressed and not to, you know, and people to really, to realize that there needs to be a solution that's quick and that sort of helps the entire, because I really worry about every other, you know, building on Washington Street coming up for a gate like this. It would be a little crazy. That would be setting a precedent that I think would be then hard pressed for anyone to deny. So yes, it is horrible. It continues to be horrible, but I think you've got, you know, let's put it this way. You, as much as hydroxychloroquine was useless for COVID, we should find solutions that are going to work in the long term.
Okay.
Can I speak for a second? Is that okay? Yeah, thank
you. Who is that asking? I can't see.
It's Derek. Derek. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Please, go ahead.
John, thank you. Thanks for everyone's comments. John, I appreciate what you said. And I appreciate everyone's concern about precedents and the need to make the not feel like a gated community. I'd like to say a couple of things about this. Specifically, if we go back to a couple of pages, this is not like your typical South End staircase, entrance staircase or stoop, which are generally open for everybody to see from many different angles. This is a rather unique situation, maybe not the only situation around, but it's fairly unique up and down that street or is the South End, from the South End as I know it, where we are really sandwiched deep between two storefronts that are right at the property line. So, you know, I think, if you look at the examples that are on the screen right now, those are not really so much, and those have gates, and I understand that those may not have been approved through this process, but our situation is unique in that we are a deep, secluded storefront, bounded by two storefronts that are right at the sidewalk line, which in turn gets me to my second point, which is that I I'm hoping I don't have to come in front of you guys, folks again after a situation where somebody's really been physically hurt. I've got, again, one of the emails I forwarded earlier today is a statement from, from a woman who lives at the property who said that she was verbally attacked. And I think this isn't hyperbole. I think it's only a matter of time before one of the residents is physically attacked. And, I understand as an architect, as an urbanist, I understand very much what we're talking about here and trying to make the South End not feel like a gated community. Specifically in this location, I think we have an acute public safety issue that really can't wait for the city or the state for a resolution. And it's really up to us to try to stop something bad from happening here. And if John's point about a temporary gate, I'm interested to hear about that. I think I would propose that if we can get on board maybe with the temporary gate idea, then maybe we put a proviso in that the gate either be removed at a certain point in time or we come back in front of you to review whether the gate is still necessary at that time.
Yeah.
That would be my suggestion about kind of holding us accountable.
Well, with due respect, I don't think we should be held accountable for people getting hurt. That is an issue for law enforcement and legislation. This is a commission that is reviewing design and its applicability in a historic neighborhood. So for us to be held accountable for somebody getting hurt is a bit much.
That's not what I said, sir.
Well, I think I heard you say that. So if that's not what you said,
that was the name that you or the group.
But you said you'd be coming back after somebody gets
that. That we would, you could hold us accountable at a certain date if you would like us to remove it at a certain date or come back in front of you to talk about whether it's still necessary and you could vote again. I was entertaining John's interesting idea about a temporary gate, which, I think that's something that we would consider potentially. I'd have to go back and talk to ownership. But again, I appreciated John's offer there or suggestion. So that again, we can offer the residents some security immediately or in the near future now, but then respect the wishes of what we're clearly hearing from the commission tonight about trying to make sure that this doesn't feel like a gated community or that we don't set a particular precedent.
John Freeman, did you have any ideas as to what a non-conforming gate might look like? Because, as you know, we have many applications that come in front of us from the design perspective that don't fit within the district, and people want those to be approved. Mm-hmm. So I would like to just hear if there was an idea that would be something that would be not of the district design-wise that would also be something that wouldn't be something that people would want to keep there.
Yes, I knew I was going to get put on the spot. Thanks, David. Well,
John, I can take you off the spot and suggest something.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, I could too, after you, John.
Oh, yeah. Catherine, are you going this way then?
No, I'm not going that way either, but I'm going to suggest. No. I'm going to suggest.
John has an idea.
Right. Yeah. Go for it, both of you.
Too.
If we are entertaining, and I'm not, and the emphasis is on if we are entertaining the notion of a temporary gate, I would suggest that we recommend wood, that it look as temporary as that, not chain link, not aluminum, not because those things can be construed as acceptable alternatives to what normally would be approved in the district for fences and gates where fences and gates are appropriate. Fences and gates are not appropriate in the location being proposed here, but other fences and gates appear in the district where they're appropriate in the appropriate style. And I don't want any applicant to go buy an aluminum, stainless steel, chain link, anything like that, and think that was approved by the district. If somebody saw a wood gate there, they would know right off that doesn't belong in the South End.
Okay. I would like to suggest something else. And furthermore, I don't know how a gate stops somebody from being verbally abused. I mean, what is that? A gate's not going to stop that. Mm-hmm. Also, if the issue is security, which it seems to be, there are other things that the residents can do. Cameras, lighting, change the door so they can see out before they leave. You know, this
We've
idea
done all
of putting
that.
Up a...
No one pays attention to it for 20 years.
Who's speaking now?
This is John Sullivan. That? I'm one of the trustees in the building for almost 20 years.
Okay, we're not taking public comment yet, I don't think. Or are we? I don't know.
John's a trustee on the condo.
Oh, so he's part of the application? I'm
he's
sorry.
He's part of the application.
Yeah, but we need to have you introduce yourselves. But Catherine, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we have to do. You know, those of us who live in that area, you can't just slap up some temporary gate or a gate. That doesn't solve the problem. And there are security measures that can be taken without doing some sort of physical obstruction that's not going to change the situation either. Mm-hmm. And it completely goes against the guidelines.
Right. And in spite of any effort we make to say that this doesn't set a precedent, it's going to be virtually impossible for other applicants to understand why it can happen one place and not in their location.
And furthermore, John, about the wooden idea, there are wooden fences just up the street from this that have been there for about, I don't know how many decades, okay? They're still there and it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. And there they are.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be, just because it's made of wood wouldn't be the answer. The answer would have to be annual review of this application. But I don't advocate a temporary gate either. I certainly don't. I'm not in support of a gate, either permanent or temporary. And I think your suggestions of alternate measures, even if the condo association or tenants group are telling us that they've done lighting, camera, I don't see windows in the doors, which could be, you know, an alternate proposal that would be entertained by this commission. So, you know, those are other measures that could be taken. So lively discussion. Is there anything else that the applicant wants to say?
It would be okay for John, since he's part of the application, for John to speak about this further?
It would be.
John, do you want to say additional comments?
Yeah, and then maybe I'll let Joel add some. Joel and I have both been residents of the building for almost 20 years. So this has been a problem for quite a while. And lately we as the trustees have a responsibility to protect the residents and do whatever we can to remedy the situation. And there's been many times where there's been people literally shooting up heroin on a doorstep. There's been needles left there, there's feces, vomit, everything that we've referenced in the application. And it's taking place on our stairs, not on the sidewalk, not on the street, on our stairs. So this gate would 100% block this activity from taking place. We've put up signs, we've changed lighting, we've done all of the suggestions. We've involved the police, they don't do anything. I would hate to have somebody get killed, murdered, raped, have to go on these HIV drugs again. I mean, there's going to be police reports and lawsuits, and I mean, we have to do something. And as far as the aesthetic, I know you guys are more concerned about the historical aspect of it. We went around and took photographs of dozens and dozens and dozens of brownstones all over Back Bay and the South End that have these gates. So they already exist and they're already there. So I guess I'm not sure why this shouldn't be something new for anybody. Like we have dozens of photographs with the addresses. So people have that we shouldn't get it.
I think my point, this is directed to my fellow commissioners, is that I know if I lived in a place like this, I would want to do something, and I would, or I have lived in a place like this, and I, if gates are going to get put up on a temporary basis, I would rather that we review them and control them and put a time, a renewable time element on them than have them happen out of our purview.
This is not a temporary issue. I mean, this has gotten worse since COVID, but this, as you mentioned, we applied for this over 10 years ago. It might've been 12 years ago. This has been an ongoing issue that's just gotten significantly worse with COVID, but it's not.
Well, I was talking to my fellow commissioners, but to answer your question, we can't approve a gate in a historic vocabulary here. So I think the only option is something out of vocabulary with the agreement that it would be removed when and if conditions changed, or we can't approve it. But I agree with my fellow commissioners that we can't approve a gate in a historic model. It goes against everything in our regulations.
Is there a reason why there's dozens of other buildings that have these gates in the same neighborhood?
That's a different discussion. That's not our discussion here right now. Go ahead, John.
Can I jump in for a second? I did see a discussion of, or mention of gates in the guidelines, right? I believe the gates are talked about in the guidelines. So
there are gates in other locations
that are appropriate.
Yeah, but in the historic model of the Victorian era, there were not gates on stoops.
Well, right. Okay. So just to clarify a little further, and I appreciate everyone doing this for me, but why are gates mentioned in the guidelines if we're not allowing
them? They're not gates on stoops. They're gates on other entrances.
They're gates to parks, parks that are fenced in. They're gates to community gardens that are fenced in. There is a reason that the regulations, standards, and criteria refer to gates. But they also refer to gates not being appropriate at the base of stoops or on the walks to doors below stoops. Those are specifically identified as inappropriate.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. I know other people have things to say.
I'll just say this because you've asked, and I know John wanted to defer the question, but I can't think of any of the photographs that you've shown of gates at the bottoms of stoops that have been approved by this commission. If they're in there, they were built before the commission existed or without approval by the commission.
I don't think there's any mention of gates within the standards of criteria, except to say that gates are not appropriate for front yards.
Correct. So my point is that I think some of those gates, many of them do predate the commission. My point is I'd rather have this be something that we control, kind of like, I'd rather this be something that we control and let an applicant, I think we can say that this is if not unique, it's certainly an extreme situation. Can we go back to a picture of the application, Mary, instead of looking at these other things?
Sure.
And
do you want to see pictures?
And that we would
drawings?
Make it clear that we're not setting a precedent. Anything would have to be reviewed. And wasn't there a picture looking at the stoop? Yeah.
Sure.
And I'd say rather than John's thought about it being a wood gate is interesting to me. I'm not sure. I think I'd need to see a proposal, but I would let the applicant, also try to come up with something, maybe work with staff and see if we could come up with something that definitely felt temporary. Maybe it would in any case, we could just deny this without prejudice, or we could deny this out without prejudice and ask them to put their thinking caps on and see what we can come up with.
I do see in the guidelines that B4C gates directly outside, gates or grills directly outside. And the reason why I'm here today with you folks.
Derek, we know the guidelines by heart.
Yeah, it does say directly outside. The doors may be reviewed on a case-by-case basis. So that's why.
The commission isn't going to approve a gate in a historic model in this location. I think
we're going to do personal legal action as a criminal intent, and I hope we have this documented.
What?
Yeah, don't threaten us, please. That's inappropriate for the situation. We're trying to work hard here to make something that can be acceptable. It's part of the public process, and it's an important process.
Yeah.
And John, I appreciate your approach to trying to find a productive resolution.
I think it could be nice looking. I think it could be well designed. I kind of think it could even be designed in a way that it would fall apart in 2 years. Certainly, corporations do that a lot.
Well, I'd like to make a motion.
No, what motion?
Are we ready to deny this without prejudice?
Second.
We have a motion that's been seconded. I'm just going to ask John Freeman, is there any reason you would want to amend the motion in any way?
I think denial without prejudice of the current application is appropriate. Denial without prejudice is inherent as that is that the applicant can come back with another application. It's not a full denial, which we also have the right to do. The other option I think we have is to continue it, but that denial without prejudice is fine with me. I think the question is, would we consider reviewing the design of the gate, of a temporary gate, intentionally designed to look temporary, and if there are not enough commissioners to support that, then I will go along with the denial without prejudice. But I guess that's the question. Would we be willing as a commission to look at that temporary proposal gate? So we've only been thinking about it for 20 minutes here or half an hour. If somebody seriously sits down and really tries to think this through, perhaps with some commission guidance and staff guidance, maybe there is something that we could come up with. I understand that sending them off for that direction, it's then hard to just deny it. But, maybe you should go to public comment.
I think it would be appropriate to go to public comment now.
Now, make a comment on this.
Before we go to, I have to read from the script before we take public comment. So please hold your comments, and could those people speaking now mute their mics until they're asked to speak? The public will have an opportunity now to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussion. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag #SEOCT6Hearing. So do we have people raising their hands who would like to comment? Joe?
Joe Moran.
Joel, would you like to unmute yourself and make your comment?
Hi, I'm Joel Moran. I am, like John Sullivan, also a resident of 1750 Washington Street. And just to give a little background, a little bit more background, I think the first time that we applied for a gate was back in 2008. And part of the issue that that all arose from was the fact that the building that is now currently Bar Leon, at the time was a Store 24. And when it was a Store 24, everybody would go to the store there, buy food, or whatever, and then sit on our steps and eat it. So we had applied for a gate at that point and it was denied. We put up a no loitering sign, which was the recommended course of action. And that, of course, leads to very little in terms of curbing the issue. Just to address some of the things that have been said, the issue isn't so much that if you see somebody on the stairs that you wouldn't go down the stairs. So having windows in the door wouldn't really alleviate anything, or windows in the lobby wouldn't alleviate anything, because the issue is that these people are sitting, sleeping, urinating, vomiting, injecting drugs on our steps. So when people walk by those people, that is when we're harassed. So if there was a gate, those people wouldn't be there. We wouldn't be getting harassed. There was a situation with an Asian gentleman that lived in our building up until about May, who he was continually harassed by a certain gentleman who likes to sit on our steps all the time, who was telling him to go back to China and blaming him for the COVID epidemic. There are several women in our building who have felt very unsafe, where they have been in situations where they have been harassed sexually and otherwise. There was a woman that lived in the unit below me who actually broke her lease in May, stating that she did not feel safe living in this building anymore, based on the fact that there were people on the steps all the time. I do understand that there is a cyclical nature to all of this. I've lived in this unit for 15 years. When I did first move in here, there was the issue with the Store 24 people. When Store 24 closed, that alleviated that somewhat, but then 7-Eleven opened across the street. So then people came back to our stoop. And then there was the whole issue with the methadone clinic up the street, which has added exponentially to the number of people who come up and down the street on any given day. This is not hyperbole to say that today, in the midst of my, or in the surrounding of my building, I reported on 311 a needle on our steps, a needle on the doorway of Bar Leon, and a needle right out front of our building. So that was three in one day. And this is the kind of thing that it's not getting better. We are in the middle of a pandemic. We are in a situation where the things that are being left on our front steps are a health hazard, including the fact that there's people sleeping there, that we have had two instances where people actually were able to work their way into the building and were then sleeping on our interior steps, stairs. I totally understand the perspective of the commission and understand that the focus is on design. I would question whether our building even has an historic aesthetic, given the fact that there are two restaurant fronts downstairs that did not exist there when this building was originally built. Those two commercial spaces created the circumstance that we live in now. If there were to be a gate put up and holes were drilled, the holes would be drilled in a non-original portion of the building, which is the restaurant fronts, not into an existing railing. So I'm not really clear on what the question would be, given that it's not an historic front as it is. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Joel. We let you go on longer because you're a building tenant, but we will be letting other people know they have just a couple of minutes each to speak. And Joe, are you going to call upon people who are raising their hand, or?
Yes, I saw Peter Sanborn. You're raising your hand. Are you still there?
Actually, it's Craig Jackson. I'm using Peter's computer.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Peter and I live around the corner, and we've lived in here for 40 years, and we have exactly the same problems as these people are talking about on Washington and Mass Ave. We have found unconscious people. We found blood. We found used needles. We found feces. We found vomit. Just about everything. The other day, we came home, and we got up in the morning, and people were sleeping. Our building has a restaurant downstairs, and it has a it's a one-floor restaurant with a flat roof, and we found people sleeping on the roof. And it took us a while to get them awake. My point is, if you let this happen on the Mass Ave West, on the building, what is it?
Washington Street.
1750. If you let them put in a gate, then I want to be right in line, because the same thing happens to me, and we own the building next door, and the same thing happens there, and the same thing happens practically, you know, on a many, many buildings on East Springfield Street. So I am opposed to putting any kind of gate there, because that will set a precedence. You know, I have to deal with exactly the same problems. I have tenants in both buildings. But once again, if you let this happen, then people will be wanting to put these gates up all over the place. And okay, that's me.
Okay, thank you, Peter.
It's Greg.
Oh, Greg, sorry. Thank you, Greg. Sorry.
Okay.
Joe, any other people raising their hand?
No, I don't see anyone else raising
their hand. Actually, I think the real Peter Sanborn is raising his hand now.
This is the real Peter Sanborn, I think. 59 East Springfield Street. And I want to support the commission's motion to deny this without prejudice. Greg, who just spoke, is my partner. I'm sympathetic to the problem, and we do experience it every day, and I appreciate Commissioner Freeman's attempt for compromise, but this will proliferate. If one gate is allowed, this will set the precedent and open the floodgates, and I think the commission, unfortunately, would not have real clout in being able to enforce a temporary allowance for this type of gate. We found, I think, that the commission's not always effectual in being able to enforce violations. So I have real serious concerns. So I appreciate the commission's vote to deny this. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Peter. Anyone else raising hands or writing in? Joe?
No, John, I don't see any others. I think we can close public comment.
Okay.
Actually, I'll just add that Derek Rubinoff forwarded me two letters, one from John Sullivan and one from Joel Moran, who I believe both spoke. Mm-hmm. They also provided a log of 311 reports at this address, and it was 51 of them. And I'll also add that the Office of Neighborhood Services wrote to express their support with this project, and they suggested that we start a conversation about this issue. So that's all.
That's very interesting. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, may I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Mary just said something very interesting about the Office of Neighborhood Services. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if if we're going to deny this without prejudice, if we could at least use our influence to try to get some architectural discussion about handling this kind of social problem started with the BPDA, Office of Neighborhood Services, and perhaps even the police department. I understand that the residents have had trouble with response, and I know what the answer from the city has been about that, but maybe, because, you know, I think there's two other gates on our agenda tonight, and we're just going to keep hearing the same things. If we can at least start and, you know, help use what influence we have to start an initiative about this, maybe we'll discover something that we didn't know.
Okay. If there's nothing else, I'm just going to go to a vote now, and I'll do a roll call, starting with...
May I make an amendment? We direct staff to reach out to ONS, BPDDA, and I don't know, whoever else is appropriate, and discuss with commissioners later.
I can't remember who made the motion. Was that Catherine?
I did.
Catherine.
I did, and I'd like to say just a couple more things about this. You know, I hear the concerns. I had those concerns when I lived on the corner of Mass Ave and Harrison, and I never, ever thought about going and trying to put a gate in front of our stoop. What I did was I organized a task force of police, of the people who own Liquorland, of the Public Health Commission, of the BU Medical Center. And in your case, it would be the businesses around there. I mean, for Pete's sake, everybody in the South End and other neighborhoods have the same problem. You know, stores are near us. People buy things. They sit on our stoops and eat the stuff. That's not a big deal. That's not what we're facing now, I understand. But we have to take action as residents and as community members. And the answer is not to start putting up gates. It's to activate and take care of these social issues and pressure our city and the organizations and institutions that are supposed to be dealing with these issues. It's not the Landmarks Commission.
Catherine, I agree with you, but perhaps we could be the instigator just to get it started.
Well, somebody has to, and I urge the residents to do more than just, you know, complain about possible problems. We're all facing that, and we have to take action.
Okay, well,
are you denying or accepting my amendment?
Yeah, that was my question. John made an amendment to your motion to have staff contact Office of Neighborhood Services to start
a BPDA and, you know, start a discussion about.
Well, not if it's about architecture, not if it's about barriers, no.
I didn't say it was about barriers. It is about architecture and urban planning.
Well, I just don't know what that is going to lead to.
That's the point. We don't, it might lead to something, it might not.
Well, if it leads to physical obstructions, I'm not in favor of that at all.
I agree with that. I told
you. But that's not the motion. The motion is to start a discussion, to have the Landmarks Commission help.
Well, I think other agencies should be included in that.
Okay, whoever else you want.
Including attorneys.
The Public Health Commission, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the Police Department. You know, there are just numerous agencies, too numerous to mention. Okay.
Contact them all.
Hey, we have problems, folks. We all do. Yeah. I don't know.
I totally agree. But I think it is part, you know, we're a Landmarks Commission. We're not a public health or
commission law enforcement.
Law enforcement.
No, we're not.
The South End is part of us in the same way it is for everybody who lives there, even for those of us who can't live there. mean, you know.
I understand that, but allowing people to get killed on people's stoop is.
Stop it. You know, we're not allowing people to get killed.
Right.
We're talking about
that's an outrageous
social improvements here.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that's an outrageous thing to
say. We've closed public comment for the moment. this is a discussion amongst commissioners, please. So Catherine, I'll ask again, will you accept John Freeman's amendment to your motion? Just to be the facilitator of a discussion, not to agree to where the discussion might lead.
Yeah, if it'll get this going, yes.
Thank you.
Okay. And the person who seconded the motion, would you second again, or do I need another second?
I seconded before and I seconded again.
Okay. We've already taken public comment. I'm not going to take public comment again. We're going to go to a vote. Commissioner Hunt?
Yes.
Fabian?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And the chair votes with the motion. So the motion carries. And we encourage the applicant to just go with the recommendations that have been made in part of this discussion, and to and if you so choose, you may come back to the commission with another alternative.
And John, I'll add just for the record that there was no public comment coming in through email or Twitter.
Okay. Thank you very much, Gabby. We now have, are we going to go back to the previous application that we skipped over?
Sure, we can see if they've arrived.
Right.
They're going back to one they passed over.
So
which application was that?
570 Mass Ave.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. 570 Mass. Do we have an applicant for 570 Mass Ave here? We skipped over this application earlier due to the absence of an applicant. It doesn't appear that we do, Mary or Joe.
No. So.
So we'll go back to the one that would have followed 750 Mass Ave. And we'll do one more return to that at the end when we're done with other, with all the other applications. So the next application is for application 21.0225, 702 Massachusetts Avenue. And the scope of the work here is at the stoop to install extension railings, and at the side elevation facing Harrison Avenue, demolish a portion of a brick retaining wall and repoint the remaining portion of the wall. So do we have an applicant here for 702 Mass Ave?
Yes, how are you? My name is Bobby with John William Masonry. So I think we want to address this proposal in two different options, in two different angles. The first part is the extension railing on the stoop. It's very similar to what the adjacent properties have. And we have a restoration scope for the stoop to replicate the brownstone integrity of it. We actually met Mary on site and went over all of that. So that's under the administrative review. So one of the line items under that was to add the extension railings so that, you know, there's proper access by code so that tenants could get inside and out. The second portion I had actually removed from this application was the wall per my conversations with Mary. But I think she might have added it back on because I think some of the tenants have similar safety concerns to what we discussed in that lengthy presentation before. So I don't want to get too caught up in that. They can make their comments in regards to the safety issues and that back wall, but that was the reason we were going to, we had proposed to sink that back wall.
Bobby, just to clarify, is the back wall then removed from the scope of work?
It was in this application, correct. When we had met Mary, we had discussed it and you had advised the owners of the building to follow up and see if they could find any pictures with historical districts and commissions around the city of what that back retaining wall really was. My goal as the contractor is to get in here and repair these stairs because they're taking on water and the problem is just going to progress significantly. So I'm not even under contractor doing that right now. You know, I left it up to the tenants and the owners of the building to follow up on those modes for addressing the back retaining wall.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds like the back wall is not in the scope of work.
And Sean Pugsley, I think, is on this call as well. He's the property management property manager for the building.
Okay.
Represents the owners, and he might have some comment on that. But in terms of my scope of work as of right now, no. And I think that was just based on our conversation when we met on site, because you had the owners to follow up with some of those other organizations within the city that. Because their concerns are the same exact thing with safety and hazard and, you know, visibility from the wall. So I haven't spoke, honestly, I haven't spoken with the owners of the building or the manager, and Sean, feel free to weigh in if you want in regards to the back wall. But I think, you know, based off the conversations we just had with the last presentation, I realize what, you know, that's something that probably needs to be followed up with other avenues.
Well, I'm confused at this point whether we are.
Yeah, me too.
whether we're including it in the presentation or not.
It sounds like it's not part of this application anymore. So let's move on and not discuss it. But you do have to talk about the pipe railings.
Yeah. So would you like to present what you're proposing for the railings?
So, yeah, I don't have, I'm just the contractor. I was just going to model the adjacent property that had their brownstone stoops done recently. I think it's 696 Mass Ave.
Did you provide photographs of those with your application?
I did not. I know me and Mary looked at it on site when we went at our meeting.
So Bobby, you don't have to discuss the restoration of the stoop because that's being handled at the administrative level.
Right.
All you need to talk about is the installation of pipe railings. So if you could just explain to the commissioners how they're being installed, where they're being installed, if the decorative handrail will remain, et cetera.
Yep, so yeah, the decorative handrail will remain on the teak wall. That's not going anywhere. Like I said, it's 696 Mass Ave. They had restored the stairs in kind and then added an extension railing, standard pipe, 1.5-inch railing that extends from the entranceway down the side, ties into the cheek wall at the middle tread, and then terminates at the bottom tread, just so that there's something to hold on to for residents going up and down the stairs.
Aren't these interesting meetings?
Yes.
Is that all, Bobby?
Yeah, that's all I have for you.
So, do we know what this rail is going to look like? Where it starts and where it ends relative to the photograph we're looking at?
Mr. Chairman, we can't approve anything if we don't have drawings and a real proposal. I think we should save everybody's time and deny this without prejudice or continue it and keep moving. Bobby's.
No, that's fine on my end. I think my goal for this application was to get the scope of work under the administrative review portion of my project approved so that I can then fix the stairs so they're not falling apart even more. And follow up with the owners of the building and have them, if they want to move forward with the handrail idea, you know, have somebody produce some drawings and exactly what you need to approve that.
That's a good idea. And we vote on administrative review at the end of the meeting. So, you know, you'll get the results of that.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
So do I hear a motion?
A motion to deny this without prejudice.
Okay.
Second.
And it's been seconded. Shall we go to public comment, Mary?
Sure.
Okay, so members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send the questions to staff via email at southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag #SEOCT6Hearing. Do we have anyone raising their hand, Joe?
We do. We have a Stuart. Stuart, would you like to make your comments?
Yes, hi. This is actually Arlene Shanker.
I can't hear.
Arlene, we're getting feedback from your...
Better now?
Better.
You're very faint in my headphones.
Yeah, you are very faint.
Okay. Better now?
Better. Okay. And full name again, please.
Arlene Shanker.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I are owners of a condo at 702 Mass Ave. And I know that this is not part of the application, but in reference to the wall, we do have some information in reference to the wall, and this is taking down part of the wall and back to.
We lost you again, Mayor Arlene. We lost you, and in fact, I'm going to stop you anyway because the public comment really needs to only address the motion. And if the wall has been removed from the application, you're welcome to submit a separate application for the garden wall at a later time. And I recommend that you speak with our staff preservationist, Mary Service, to discuss the practicalities of that.
Thanks, John. Arlene, just feel free to send me an email. You can reach me at the email that is listed at the bottom of the screen as southendldc@boston.gov.
All right, John, I don't see anyone else raising their hands. Oh, wait, we do.
It's the not Peter Sanborn.
Go ahead.
Greg, you're on mute.
Can you hear me now?
We can.
Okay. I was here to talk about the fence, but it seems
your
like
name,
that's
your been, name again, Greg.
Greg Jackson.
Thank you. Carry on.
I was here to talk about the fence, but it sounds like that's been tabled. One thing I want to mention, it's probably totally out of your realm, but we've lived directly behind 702 Mass Ave for 40 years. And I think if you look back at that picture, you'll see the garbage in the front yard. That's always a problem. So before they start asking for things, they should take care of the property. The front yard is always full of garbage and it's always full of needles. I'm finished.
Okay. Thank you, Greg Jackson. Any other public comment?
I don't see anyone else raising their hands and no emails. Gabby, do you have any tweets?
No, nothing has come in.
I think okay. We can close public comment.
Okay, great. Then we'll go to a vote. John?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Fabian?
Yes.
Catherine?
Yes.
And the chair votes with the motion, so the motion carries. So thank you very much. And we'll go to the, do we have another one after this?
Yes. Oh, I'll just add that 95 Berkeley Street was moved to administrative review.
Right.
So it's the application after that, 7 Columbus Square.
Right. So the next application is 21.0240, which is 7 Columbus Square. And the proposed work is to construct a roof deck with hatch access. So do we have the applicant here?
Yep, that's me. I'm Paul Sorrentino. I work for Studio Draw, where the architect's on the project. What falls under the design review is the addition of a roof deck. We would be replacing the existing hatch with a larger one and then constructing a roof deck. And so one of the things that we were looking at too was the railing, and we've been informed that if it's visible from the street, it would have to be a continuous metal top rail. So we are aware of that. If you go to the next page, it has the proposed plot plan showing the extents of the roof deck.
Could you describe the extents? Because it's hard to see all the detail in this drawing.
Sure. So it would go from party wall to party wall. It's held 3 feet off of the back. And then it extends, as we have it shown, 34 feet until it ends towards the front. If that's something that needs to be moved so that it isn't visible from the street, we're happy to accommodate that.
So the dimension of 20.3 is the dimension from the front to the
correct
railing? Well, it's correct. Actually from the property line to the front railing.
Oh, that is from the front. Oh, yes, you're right.
It's not from the edge of building.
Sure.
Okay. So is that your full presentation, or do you have more to show?
That's it as far as my understanding goes for the design review. I mean, we're also doing stuff with replacement windows and repointing and stuff, but that comes at the administrative.
Now, regarding the deck, what about what it looks like?
We haven't discussed specifics with the owners yet, but more than likely it would be like a Trex decking or something like that. And then for the railing, there's roof decks on 6 Columbus Square and 8 Columbus Square that also have continuous metal rail that we would probably be using as a precedent for this one.
Okay. Any questions from commissioners about this?
I have a question for Mary about her notes.
Yeah. Go ahead, John.
Well, actually, Mary, can you explain or tell us in the notes, you say that there was a deck approved in this place, but on the... Is that correct?
No, so there wasn't a deck approved at this particular location. I noted that I located an approval for the deck at number 6, I think. But the language of the approval said that it was not visible from a public way, and I thought I could see it. So I don't know if that was built to what was initially submitted approved with the application or mm-hmm. what. I could not locate a approval for the roof deck at number 8.
I guess I have a question.
Fabian?
I'm sorry, can go you ahead. Hear me?
Fabian, go ahead.
My question was, am I hearing correctly that this deck, at least the railings of the deck, will be visible from the street?
That's my suspicion.
Have we done a site review?
I have, yes. So all of the trees that are in this picture are currently still full of leaves. I could see a 2x4 that was sticking up. I'm assuming that was, you know, I got confirmation that that was the mock-up. However, I'm not sure if that was the exact height of the railings or if it was slightly lower. But it's such a wide view of Columbus Square from points of Columbus, from Columbus Avenue and areas of Braddock Park, that I don't think there's any way that you're not going to be able to see this unless it's pushed back significantly.
Okay.
How much was it sticking up? Could you tell?
I just looking back at the photo that I took. I mean, enough that I think it's visible.
John Freeman and Catherine and I have been enough of these site visits to know that when you have a long view like this, there's very little that can be done to move the rail back far enough to reduce its visibility significantly enough. And this photo from spring before the trees leaf out certainly tells us that, you know, we have long views and the view gets even longer than this. And we will probably see the socks and shoes of people standing on the back of the deck.
Remember in the old days, we used to call that your shoes untied.
Right. Yeah. To the person holding up the yellow caution tape.
Exactly.
up on the roof. Also I have a suspicion about the location of the hatch, that even if there was an approvable deck here, and I'm not saying there is, but even if there was, Paul, that it would be farther back than where your hatch is shown in the roof.
Okay.
And which would make it difficult to access what would even be an approvable deck if we could approve one. You know, we would probably be pushing this back all the way towards the rear of the building, you know, maybe a 6-foot wide deck. I'm just speculating, having done so many of these subcommittees for deck approvals in the past. I suppose if you wanted to go through the exercise, we could do a subcommittee, but it seems almost futile, but we could if we needed to prove the point. But we would have to wait for the trees to defoliate probably until November sometime.
Okay.
That's all I could say about that.
Okay.
So do we want to establish a subcommittee at this point?
Yeah, sure. I'll volunteer.
I mean, I would volunteer too.
I'll make a motion to remand this to a subcommittee of Catherine and John Amadeo, unless one of our new commissioners would also like to join it.
The more the merrier.
Or instead.
Sure. This is David.
Okay, I'll make it, amend the motion to include David. Thanks, David.
Okay. So we have a motion. Has it been seconded?
Second.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead, David.
Okay.
David beat you to it. I think we can go to public comment then.
Where's Joe?
We have to hear our script.
There he is. Hey, Joe. Yeah.
It's Mary, and she's on top of it. So members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussion. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag pound SE OCT6 hearing. Anyone raising their hand, Joe?
I don't see anyone raising their hands, and I don't have any emails. Gabby, are there any tweets?
No, there aren't any.
Okay.
I think we can close public comment, John.
Okay, great. And we'll go to a vote. Catherine?
Yes.
Fabian?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And the chair votes with the motion. So we'll go to the next application then, which is 7.
Thank you, Paul.
Yes, thank you, Paul. 21.0221, 748 Tremont Street. And the scope of work there is to construct a roof deck accessed by the existing head house. Do we have an applicant here for this?
Yes, my name is Nathan Cito. I am from Chu & Company Architects. I'm representing William Coleman, the applicant.
Okay. And do you have a presentation?
Yes.
Can you just confirm for me that these are the correct drawings? I know that David has sent me a set earlier this afternoon, but I think I had a set of revised drawings already, so I just wanted to confirm that these are correct.
I believe the revised set includes a locus plan as the first sheet.
Okay. Everyone see?
Yeah, these are the updated plans.
Great. Sorry about that.
No problem. So this is a locus plan with the building 748 in the shaded. And then you can go next. So this is a existing elevation of the roof, and the left drawing shows the front of the building. And the right drawing shows the left side standing on Worcester Street. You can see there's a small roof deck and with the existing head house. Next. So we have a few pictures here. This is a shot from the roof looking onto Worcester Street. That's what's there currently. You can go next. This is looking towards Tremont Street from the roof. You can see the church in the background. And then next. This is looking towards the other end of Worcester Street. Next. And this is looking towards the other end of Tremont Street, towards the adjacent buildings. And you can see there are multiple roof decks and or railings along the building. Next. This is a shot of the existing house. Next. This is the shot of the stair from the existing head house going down to the unit. Next. So this is the existing and proposed plans. The left drawing shows the existing plans with the dimensions of the existing roof deck. And the drawing on the right shows our proposed deck, which, and the dotted line is the outline of the existing deck. And you can see that we are extending about, go back. We're extending the roof deck towards the front to align with the front of the head house. And the back of the roof deck is the same size. And we are extending it to the left towards Worcester Street about 3 feet. And we chamfered the corners of the roof deck here because, as you see in the pictures to follow, that the roof deck is visible from the street. So we tried our best to minimize the visibility from the street. Next. So here are elevations of the proposed roof deck. And the left is the front elevation, and the right is the left side elevation from Worcester Street. Next. So here's the line of sight, looking at the left side of the building from Worcester Street. And you can see that based on the line of sight that the proposed roof is below the line of sight, standing on the opposite side of Tremont Street. Next. So here are some photos standing on Tremont Street in front of the church looking towards the building. And you can see the railing there is the mock-up. So it's visible from about the front of the church. And you can see that if the deck is constructed, that it would be hiding the head house. And we go next. So this is a picture standing on the corner of Worcester and Tremont Street. And it's tough to see, but you can just barely see the railing of the roof deck from this view. Next. And this is a shot standing on Worcester Street from behind the building. And again, you can see it, but just barely with the trees. Next. This is the same area, but a little bit closer to the building. And again, you can barely see the railing standing at this view. Next. And this is on the side of Worcester Street adjacent to the building. Again, you can just barely see the railing, and that's with the chamfered edge so that it will be set back a little bit further. Next. This is the same shot, just a little bit closer without the trees blocking it. Next. So this is on the other side of Worcester Street. You can see, again, the railing is there. And if you go next. This is closer towards the intersection of Worcester and Tremont. And you can see that the railing is just barely visible from this view. Next. Next picture. Oh, that's it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that's the presentations. Any questions, comments?
Yeah, any questions from commissioners?
No questions.
Sorry, so there's a deck that's already there, and we didn't see that in the pictures that were just shown. Is that right?
Yeah, there was an existing roof deck there that is now no longer there.
Oh.
When was it removed?
The existing roof deck?
Yeah.
A few months ago, they were doing some re-roofing. So okay. That was removed during that time.
Okay. And the door coming out of the existing head house is at the end of the head house that's towards the back of the building, correct?
Yes.
So I'm curious to understand why the deck is being proposed to be extended towards the front of the building.
Just in order to gain some square footage for the deck.
Okay.
And also the front of the deck aligns with the front face of the existing headhouse.
Yeah. Any other questions about the proposal before we go to comments? Otherwise, I'll take comments.
Well, I'd like to thank Nathan for his extensive photography there. That was very helpful.
Thank you.
And perhaps to the detriment of the application, I don't know. This may be similar to the one we just looked at. You know, it might require a site visit.
Mm-hmm.
I would think if there's any chance of approving this, it would require a site visit. John?
Yeah. And I'm reluctant to even think that a site visit will solve the problem here. The long views are just, it's such an exposed rooftop that even reducing the deck back to its original size or even somewhat smaller than its original size would still be highly visible from Tremont Street and from parts of Worcester Street and buildings are just so vulnerable to this, these long view, distance views. And it, you know, makes it virtually impossible for us to be able to approve a roof deck, even with the fact that we have taken the no visibility requirements in the standards and criteria and relaxed them to accept some minor visibility. But this isn't minor visibility. There's nothing minimal about the visibility here. And I don't even know that it would be worth the effort of a subcommittee going out. Staff has already viewed this and deemed that it would be virtually impossible to find an approvable location for these rails.
So even if the deck was constructed back to the existing footprint, which is, if you're standing on Tremont looking at the front, it is significantly smaller than what we proposed.
Well, if you go back to the view from Tremont in front of the church, looking back at the townhouse, Mary, it was like the second picture or third. Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
there's nothing you can do with that view. You could push it back to the face of the headhouse, and you'd still see the rail.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if we were to do this, the railing would sort of hide the headhouse that's there.
Yeah, but that's not the problem. The problem is the railing itself.
Okay.
So
try though.
Yeah. Good. Exactly. I don't know. If other commissioners feel like it's worth the subcommittee, I'd entertain it, but you'd have to volunteer.
I have this vague memory that we had a subcommittee on this many years ago in the same building, more than 10 years ago, and that your conclusions were consistent with that subcommittee, if it was the same building.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it wasn't the same building, it was a building with the same kind of visibility.
Exactly.
It was
a corner building, yeah,
which are so difficult to find. We do try to work with applicants to get them an approvable roof deck, and on corner buildings like this, it's just a futile effort, honestly. So sympathies, but I don't see how we can come up with an approvable roof deck on this roof. I welcome a motion at this point.
I'll make a motion to deny this without prejudice.
And I'll
second.
Okay, so we have a motion, it's been seconded. We're gonna take public comment before we go to a vote. So Mary, if you can slap up the script.
I can.
Just slap it up.
Slap
it up there.
Slap it on up.
All Which I am chagrined to say I have not yet memorized.
it's a wonder we don't all dream it.
I know.
When you memorize it, we'll go back to in-person hearings.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Thank you, Joe. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag #SEOCT6Hearing. Anyone raising their hands, Joe?
No, I don't see anyone raising their hands, and I do not have any emails coming in. Gabby, are there any tweets?
Nope, there are no tweets.
Okay, John, I think you can close public comment.
Okay, great. Then we'll go to a roll call vote. John Freeman?
Yes.
Catherine?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
And Fabian?
Yes.
And the chair votes with the motion, so the motion carries. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah. And I believe, was that our last application before?
There's one more, but 145 Worcester Street was moved to administrative review.
Right, okay. Thank you, Mary. And then we have the next application, which is 21.0227, which is 17 Upton Street. And the proposed work is at the front stoop, install new railings, replace the garden fence and balusters, and at the roof, construct a roof deck and install HVAC condenser units. And do we have an applicant here?
Yes, I'm here. Mark Van Brocklin, and Mark, I'm the architect here for 17 Upton. The presentation is a little bit lengthier because it includes some admin items. But I'll keep Mary's fingers going as she asks her to hop around.
Okay.
So this site plan to locate 17 Upton is 8 or 9 doors in from Shawmut. The upper drawing is a roof plan showing the proposed roof deck. The proposal holds the rear rail 5 feet from the rear of the building, and the front rail would align with the rear of the existing chimneys, and that's about 11.5 feet back from the facade of the building. The condensers, you can see plants out there, are a foot off the railing, so roughly 10 feet from the front of the building.
How high are the condenser units, Mark?
Those are mocked up. They're roughly 48 inches on top of a 12-inch dunnage or a stand.
Okay. So those have been mocked up. Yeah. And have the railings been mocked up?
The deck rail have been mocked up, correct.
Okay. Well, I'll let you proceed then, because you're probably going to show us what that looks like.
I don't have photos. Mary has been on site, and I believe she has photos of that. It's relatively recent mock-up.
I included pictures in your staff comments.
Yep.
So if you can go to the next slide, Mary. The front elevation shows where we'd like to replace the garden fence as well as replace the rails on the stoop with new pipe rail. The term replace front rail in kind is the wrong language. We want to replace the rail with a new type of rail. There's some precedent I'll show you of that. I think the next couple pages are rear work. So here's a sightline diagram of the mock-up, but I think the photos could be more helpful. And then two more pages is the front rail.
So, commissioners, just a note, behind 17 Upton Street is a public alley, so you would have purview over the visibility of the roof deck only, anything above the cornice line.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Administrator. Okay. So this is the proposed rail. It's a pretty typical rail along Upton Street. There's a photograph of 19 Upton, which is one door away. I don't have a complete catalog of every rail on the street, but quite a few of them have this cast rail, which we'd like to propose for the garden area.
I'm confused, Mark. Is there an existing rail in front of the property that you're replacing?
There is. So, sorry.
Mayor, is that a picture of it?
No, that's the precedent they were copying. We do have a picture of it.
Well, it's labeled existing front rail at 19 Upton. Oh, 19 Upton, is that your property?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Mayor, if you can go back to three pages, there's a picture of the rail on the upper right.
Sure. I can also pull it up on Google Maps.
Yeah, on Google, it looks like there's an existing historic railing.
So this is the rail right here.
That's existing.
Correct.
That's the existing rail at the subject at 17, correct, the subject property. It seems to be, it's in pretty poor condition. The top rail is painted wood, the actual railing. And there's no evidence of what that top rail was.
So just for context, this is the street view. Here is 17. Here is 15. This is 19. So Mark, just to be clear, I think the drawings, they showed, the drawing said that you were referencing 19 Upton Street, but it looks like the pictures are of number 15 Upton Street.
So I just
want to make sure that we're looking at the right railings. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else, Mark?
For the stoop rail, we're proposing a side mount pipe rail to be attached to the inside of the cheek walls of the stoop. And again, we're going to crib off of another existing building. So on the last page, there's a photograph of 16 Upton that has a simple, the middle and the bottom, the simple pipe railing with this handrail profile is attached to the side of the cheek wall. And then the existing condition is on the left, where it looks like plumbing pipe attached to the top of the cheek wall. We're proposing the middle picture.
Okay.
That's the right thing to do, though. You're right. How are you going to patch the skirt? I mean, the cheek wall.
I think it'll be a narrow, thin metal plate that's bolted and epoxied in, that carries...
I mean, patch where you're taking the railing out.
Oh.
I'm just curious. It's.
I think we're going to... I don't know the exact means and method, but we'll...
Okay, just clear it with Mary, and make it as close as you can to invisible.
Right. Yeah. So is that, Mark, are you complete with your presentation?
I'm complete, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So we should take these one at a time, the stair rail, the garden rail, and the roof deck. And since we have the pictures of the stair rail in front of us, why don't we just start with that one? Any questions on this one? On the stair rail before, or even comments.
The sidewall attachment is what we ask everybody to do because it's much more durable and preserves the historic fabric. So I think it's the right thing.
It is, except we're not really seeing a drawing, I don't think we would be approving the handrail that's shown in the bottom middle at 16 Upton. The attachment of how it's attached to the cheek walls, yes. But you can't have an exposed end of a handrail like that that doesn't have a post continuing up to it.
That's code, right?
That's code.
Yeah. So.
So you would have to, you know, we typically ask for drawings to determine how that's going to all work, both structurally and aesthetically. I think we would want to be asking Mark to prepare a sketch. And, you know, is it pipe rail? Are the posts square or round? Is the base plate that attaches to the inside of the cheek wall a circle or a square or a diamond? I mean, there are a lot of questions here. And I think a sketch is warranted to determine what this design is. And then how does it terminate at the top? And does it attach into the building, which we don't want to see, or is it going to be structurally supported only by the cheek walls, side mounting into the cheek walls? I mean, that all has to be ironed out, and I think we need a sketch.
Understood.
I think we can probably remand it to staff. Mary knows, approve it in concept and remand the details to staff, because I'm sure at this point Mary knows exactly what, and she can always call you.
Right. I mean, what we don't want is a utilitarian pipe rail solution that detracts from the architectural character. So we need to see what you intend. Mark, you've been before us so many times. I think you understand the commission and what we're looking for.
John, do you want to just describe what it is about these existing railings that clearly we're trying to make in the pictures that we're clearly trying to do the right thing, but
missed the mark somehow?
Mark, right.
Right. Well, in the two middle pictures, it's just the fact that the rails terminate with no posts on the top and bottom, which doesn't meet code, but also doesn't meet any of the historic models because no historic handrails would have terminated that way. The other thing is the just the use of plain pipe rail with no articulation is what I'm seeing that we would not approve. In the picture on the right, I think the addition of brass or bronze knuckles at the intersections of pipes and rails is not a detail we normally see in the South End, even though this is a photograph clearly of a South End stoop. But I can't remember ever approving that detail. Even though it's properly mounted into the side of the cheek wall.
What section should the handrail be? Should it be that cove kind of section?
It can be a molded section that you find in the Lawler catalog. It could be a pipe rail as long as it terminates in some kind of articulation.
Like a lamb's
tongue? Like a lamb's tongue down the face of the post. You know, there are ways that can be done, but, you know, short of designing it for the applicant, I think Mark knows what we're looking for.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get more direction and...
Yeah. Do you feel that's enough direction, Mark, or would you like further?
No, I absolutely appreciate that. That's helpful.
Okay.
And we'll draw that up.
I think we can remand this to staff, and if staff needs further consultation, I'm available.
Thanks, John.
So why don't we go to the garden rail next? A question, well, I'll take questions from commissioners, but I have a question I'll want to ask when commissioners are done.
John, this is your expertise. I'll defer to you on the garden rail. I see a lot of what looks like original material there, but...
That's my question, okay. In fact. With so much existing material that looks to be original, Mark, what is the feeling about not reusing it?
I think we discussed internally with the client. We thought it was pretty interesting and unique, and we do believe it is quite old. And not to say that we were, but then, period. We also liked the railing adjacent at number 15, and we thought the continuity had a stronger argument to have those two rails be similar. The existing rail would require to be completely rebuilt. Almost every one of the balusters has some serious rust issues. So I don't know if it'd be a cast thing or a mold or what.
You couldn't shop blast and refinish those?
A lot of them have holes, like actual holes. It's pretty thin material, especially at the lower sort of sphere that holds up where the shaft starts. There's some holes through the material.
Do you have any pictures of the conditions?
That's a good question.
The one picture on page 6.
I think like we review any other kinds of original material, Mark, the first order of preference is to preserve original, whether it's consistent with the original design of its neighbors is irrelevant to us. The priority is to preserve original fabric. And this appears to be either original fabric or so old that it's historic in its own right. And I think we need to know, before we can approve its removal, we need to know that there's no alternative to demolishing it. If there is an alternative that allows it to be restored or have the original fabric be incorporated into the new rail, that would be preferable. So I think maybe this would warrant a staff inspection. Is that something, Mary, that you could do?
Sure.
To look at the original material and make a determination of whether it's feasible to reuse. And, if it is, I think we would just have to continue this for more information. And then at that point, you could come back to us either with the same proposal or with a proposal to incorporate the original fabric into a reconstructed rail.
Understood. The one thing I will have look for guidance with is the actual rail, the actual top piece.
The top rail. There, I think you could look to your neighbors of similar rails, even if the balusters are different, to see what kind of top rail would be appropriate. And I understand South End Historical Commission is willing to also assist applicants with restoring existing or looking for appropriate models for new.
Historical Society, you mean, right?
I'm sorry. I meant South End Historical Society. I'm not sure what I said, but John is correct. I meant the Historic Society. South End Historical Society. And they, at one point in time, I don't know if they still do, but at one point in time, they actually had a cast iron subcommittee.
They used to have a database of people who'd made castings so that you could get their prototypes.
Right, which would save you from having to make a casting.
Yeah.
And that might go for a top rail as well. You know, if they had a record of a casting that exists for a top rail, that would be appropriate. So I would recommend to my fellow commissioners that on this item, we continue this pending inspection by staff.
Sounds good, John.
Yeah, and then we can go to the roof deck. So any questions about the roof deck proposal? And Mary, can you slide back to some of the roof deck images?
Sure, and this also might be easier to see on Google Maps as well.
And Mary had staff comments as well.
We're already remanding the other two things to staff. Mary, can we remand this to you as well?
I'm fine with that.
Cool.
Brilliant job. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mary, I just want to ask you a question. In your staff comments, you appeared only to be concerned about visibility of the roof deck railings from the rear. Do you have any concerns at all about the visibility from the front?
I do, actually. Yes. So again, there's tons of foliage, but there is a park at the corner of Upton Street that allows for a pretty wide visibility of the first couple of houses down Upton Street from Chaumette Ave. Mm-hmm. So I would not be comfortable saying that this is not visible from the front because I haven't been able to confirm that. Right. I'm happy to go out and look in person. And if you want to remand that to me as well, I'm fine with it. I think it's just a matter of maybe going up on the roof and seeing exactly what you can see or right. What portions of the street you can see.
Right. What I'm concerned about in particular are the condensers in front. They're so close to the front of the building and they're going to be 5 feet tall. And they're going to be in front of the railing of the deck, which, you know, will make them potentially even more visible than the deck would be. So, and I appreciate the cross section that the applicant showed that it wouldn't be visible if you're standing directly across the street from Upton Street. But as you mentioned, there are long views and oblique views where potentially there is visibility. Perhaps nature will have taken its course and some leaves will have fallen from the trees by now, and you may get a little bit more visibility of the front to help you out with that.
Mark, why are the condensers so tall?
They're the Mitsubishi VRF. They're the tall, they're not like the square cube ones. They're tall.
Can you use a flat, short one?
18 inches deep. Yeah, probably. I'm not sure okay. How much shorter they would be.
And no, they're like 3 feet, the other ones.
Deeper.
Do they have to go where they're located, Mark?
Good question.
But to go in the rear, I think our thought was that not to show my hand, but the rear is a little more visible than the front. These are quite tall buildings. I understand the oblique view, especially with the park at the end of the street. But it's hard to see the mock-up. It's a very tall building. So it's, you know, on the street, it's hard to see what's on the roof. But I'll look into the mechanical equipment and I'll also certainly work with Mary.
Just be aware, while we don't like visibility of roof decks or rooftop utilities from any view, our priority is to protect the view of the front facade. We do have jurisdiction over anything above the cornice on the rear facade here, so we're concerned about that. But you know, if you had to put the condensers in the front or toward the rear, you know, I think the priority would be to protect the view of the front facade. So, and feel free, fellow commissioners, to disagree or modify anything I'm saying. I don't mean to be the end word on that statement. What we're trying to do is direct Mary when we remand this to staff.
Well, I just wonder if Mary's comfortable doing this on her own or if she wants, you know, somebody to have a visit with her. You know,
well, I'm sure I can ask one of my colleagues to join me.
I'd be happy to.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, so I think we've reviewed the three major components of this application. So if somebody would like to, or if there's any further comment, by all means, please let me know. Otherwise, I think we're ready for a motion.
Motion to refer to administrative staff.
Fabian, I think you have to mention the three different things and the three different ways.
Oh boy.
go ahead. You want help?
Yeah, just go for it, Jim.
We'll remand the roof deck to staff to review for placement and height and visibility. Remand the garden rail to staff to review first for condition of the existing historic material and whether it can be recovered, and design of the top rail with the request that they look into the South End Historical Society for both castings and, you know, their database, and remand the stoop railings to staff for specifically for the location of the vertical posts and the cross section of the rail and the end cap on the rail, and also to confirm that it doesn't go into the building at the top.
Very good, John. That was excellent.
I can do this in my sleep after 20 years.
You could, flawless. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so we're ready for that public comment script, Mary.
Coming right up.
Slap it up there.
John, I think you should record it on your phone and then just play the recording back.
That's a great idea.
Once again, brilliant, John. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send the questions to staff via email at southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag #SEOCT6Hearing. Do we have anybody raising their hand, Joe?
I don't see anyone raising their hands, and I'm not getting any emails. Gabby, do you have any tweets?
No, there are no tweets.
Okay.
I think we can close public comment.
Okay, great. Then I will take a roll call vote. Catherine?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Fabian?
Yes.
And John?
Yes.
And the chair votes with the motion. So the motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you all.
Yeah. And Mary, do we want to once again go back to the item that's been skipped, at least to ask for public comment?
Yeah.
If we don't have an applicant.
Before we, we can do that. I was going to say, let's see if the applicant is here before I go all the way back, but I had forgotten about public comment.
So this is for 570 Mass Ave, application 21.0234.
Yeah, it's another gate.
Yep.
But it's a garden gate.
Well.
But with the same constraints.
Yes.
So
I hope we didn't make some person sit here for 2 hours for public comment.
Well, we could have taken public comment at the time, but... Yeah.
We didn't, yeah, no, it's fine.
Anybody wanting to make public comment certainly heard the commission's positions on gates. So there won't be any surprise, I think, at this point. But people have a right to make public comment. So, Joe, do I need to read from the script again?
I would. I don't see anyone else here, but let's do it.
Okay. Joe just wants to test Mary's ability. Oh, look at that.
That was quick, Mary.
There it is.
She was ready.
So well.
Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press star 9 to raise your hand, or you can send questions to staff via email at southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag #SEOCT6Hearing. So Joe, anybody raising their hand?
No, no emails. Gabby, do you have any tweets?
No.
No, okay.
Okay, we've asked for public comment, no applicant. So we will just assume that that is not on the agenda now.
We don't need to, do we need to make a motion to continue it or to do something?
Yeah, is there something administrative we need to do, Mary?
Go ahead, Mary.
I was just going to say, we usually just note that the applicant did not show.
Okay.
Okay.
Was that what you were going to say, Joe?
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
I remember we used to always have to make a motion about something, but maybe that was something else. Oh, I know what that was. Never mind. Unrelated.
Mary, are we voting on minutes next or?
There's one advisory review.
Oh, there is. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Is there anybody here for 1692 Washington Street?
Yeah. Hi, this is David Weissman. And I think there's a couple other residents probably on the call, or at least they were at 5:30.
Okay. All right. Great. So since I don't have any photographs for this, I'm going to just pull up this on Google Maps so you can see.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. To get a good view of it, you kind of got to put the little guy on East Springfield and Washington.
Mm, I see that. There's a tree in the way.
Right. Yeah, it's always kind of partially covered.
All right. Let me share this.
Is this my, this is Mike's Diner billboard, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we've seen this before, too.
Yeah, I know you guys have. I wasn't living at the building at the time. That I know that this has been sort of an ongoing subject of dispute, comment, something.
You can expect some more.
So, David, can you just provide the commissioners with a background of what's going on?
Yeah, so... first of all, thanks for taking the time. My name is David Weissman. I live in this building, 1692 Washington. And last year we discovered that the side of the building is in desperate need of maintenance and repointing, that sign, the side that the sign is on. The issue is that the sign, although it's on our building, that side of the building is not technically ours. It's a party wall, and that sign is not ours. So it actually belongs to our neighbor. And as you guys know, it's been the subject of dispute in the past, and we kind of have a tenuous relationship with him right now. But where we are right now is that we understand that the sign, that this kind of sign is no longer allowed in the South End, but this one was grandfathered in there like 40 years. And as you can imagine, our neighbor doesn't want to take it down if he'll lose it permanently, and we need to get this maintenance done. We can't take it down without exposing ourselves to liability and potential litigation, which he's threatened in the past. But we were trying to get this maintenance done before winter. We're risking leaks and water damage and potential structural problems maybe. So despite all of that, despite the history that we've had with him, we were able to come to an agreement basically. And he agreed that he would take down the sign so that we could do the maintenance if we could, you know, come before you and get you, you know, have you guys agree that he could put it back up. And so that's kind of where we are. And the only other thing which is separate is that, you know, in conversations with him, we suggested that, I mean, the sign's pretty old, at least the structure behind it is pretty old. And so we were thinking that maybe he could, you know, without changing the what the sign looks like at all from the front or anything, he could put a, you know, a lighter weight fixture that's more flush with brick behind it, just put less stress on the building in the future. So that's sort of a separate thing. And he agreed that he would do that, you know, if he was able to, you know, if everything checks out with you guys, so.
Okay, who wants to go first?
Yeah.
The other thing
jump
is,
right in.
I know that in the past, he has put up things like, you know, other kinds of advertisements and stuff, and that was a subject of you know, dispute in the past, and so he's agreed, and he's been leaving up the Mike's Diner sign, so he knows that anytime he changes that, you know, the whole neighborhood gets upset, so I he's agreed that he's just going to leave it as Mike's Diner, which is right in front of it, and our building, you know, is not upset with him about that anymore. Which was the, you know, I think I wasn't here, but I think that was what one of the issues that was before the commission several years ago.
I think our regulation, I don't have it in front of me, but Mary, I think our regulations are pretty clear and they just say no billboards. And so
they
if it comes down.
Yeah, they say no new billboards.
So if it comes down.
If it comes down and goes back up, it's a new billboard.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. It's like a roof deck.
Right.
You take the roof deck down, you have to, you know, it's a new thing. I don't know how much longer this can go on, you know. It's not supposed to be there, and that's the way it should be.
Right.
It should be gone.
Yeah, it says billboards are not allowed.
It's no. Pretty explicit.
Yeah.
And if he's going to give you guys trouble, David, then you may have to take him to court or something. I don't know. We're not the, you know, we can't legislate it, but or litigate it. But it is in violation of the guidelines, and it's been up there way too long, and it should be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we were hoping that we wouldn't have to, you know, instead of creating a further tenuous relationship with our neighbor and going, you know, litigating with him because he's made it very clear that he's not going to take the thing down. And the other problem is, even if we were to try and litigate it with him, we're not going to be able to get this maintenance done this winter. So we're basically exposing ourselves to like some serious liability. If he refuses to take it down, we can't take it down for him, and the maintenance on the building needs to get done, or it's going to, I mean, it could be a potential safety thing, I guess, if the screws and stuff can fall out. I mean, so I guess we're just kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place right now. And I understand, yes, it's very clear. I mean, I read the regulations, but we were just hoping for a waiver or something in this circumstance that the guy will let us take it down and put it back up so that we can actually just get
David, I have a question for you. How is it that you're maintaining a wall that you don't own?
Well, believe me, that's a whole other story. He refuses to pay for the other half. The problem is it's a party wall, so it does it's you know, 50% ownership by our building and 50% by him. And he refuses to, you know, contribute or do anything. So I mean, that's been the subject of a lot of controversy over the past, and you know, and repointing, as you may know, is a pretty expensive project. So,
well, you guys have a legal issue, and we can't, you know, resolve it. It goes against our guidelines.
We absolutely have a legal issue. I agree with you 100% there. We were just hoping that, you know, if he agrees to take the thing down, then we can get the maintenance done. If not, then, you know, like, we might have 5 leaks and 5 units in this building over the winter. At least that's what the guy who was looking at the wall to repoint it said. I mean, he actually said last winter we needed to get it done, and we ran into this dispute with him, and we weren't able to resolve it over the winter, and luckily it was a pretty mild winter. But, you know, I think we're starting to run out of luck.
I'm not officially suggesting this, but can you flash over the top of it or something?
Yeah, we were investigating whether we could try and, like, seal behind it somehow, but not actually get the repointing done. You know, obviously it's not as good as if we could just, if he would take down the sign and we could do the job the right way, right?
Yeah.
So the risk is that there's leaks potentially or near the sign and not some other area of the wall?
Well, there already have been leaks, at least at the lower level units, not near the sign, but the entire wall needs to be done. So the entire area, including what's behind the sign, needs to be repointed.
If you don't repoint the points that hold the sign up, it will fall off.
Eventually, yes. And he doesn't seem to care. I mean, he's just kind of like, I disagree that there's any problem with the bricks and the repointing. I don't care. And obviously that's just, he doesn't want to hear from us anymore, basically. So yeah, I definitely agree. We have a legal issue and it's been, you know, endless headaches.
Have the comments that were made by the other commissioners basically been the discussion when this has come up before? I have no historical knowledge of this situation.
Yeah, we've just, I mean, it's right there. It's not allowed. And that's what we've said every other time.
Right.
But it can stay there until, in fact, the regulations are designed to allow things to stay until they need maintenance. That's what happens with roof decks. Non-conforming roof decks can stay there until the roof needs to be redone. And that's when it comes down, and that's when they have to conform to the regulations. So this is just like that.
So is the ask to take it down and put it up again, or is the ask to simply to take it down for the moment?
What do you mean by for the moment?
It's the same thing, Fabian. He's asking to take it down for the moment and put it back again.
No, well, yeah. So I'll take away for the moment, take it down, period.
Well, so on, I mean, my building doesn't care. If you guys were to come to the conclusion, it's got to come down. That has nothing to do with any of the residents in my building. We have just been unable to get him to agree to take it down so that we could get this maintenance done. And he finally agreed, okay, I'll take it down. Like, he would even pay the expense to take the thing down as long as we could come before you and get you guys to agree that he could put it back up, which, I mean, I understand where he's coming from, right? Like,
okay.
Yeah. So, and there's no real way for us to get this work done. I mean, we can do part of the wall, but we won't be able to do what's, you know, the full job, unless we can get him down, because it's now ours, and he's, you know, it's very litigious, I'm told.
Well, you said it's 50% yours.
The wall.
The wall is.
Yes.
The center line of the wall.
Right. It's a party wall. So, like, we both have 50% ownership over it. Although that's also kind of subject. I mean, he disagrees. He thinks, you know, that we own the wall for maintenance purposes, but he owns the wall for use purposes, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just very.
At some point, he's going to sell out and somebody's going to build a building there.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't our position pretty clear so that we can just move on? I mean, we have a tremendous sympathy, but we can't solve the problem. We're not going to solve the problem. And our regulations are clear. And we've been fighting this for years. He should take it down and that's the end of it. But you know, it's going to be a legal battle, and we're not the ones to resolve it.
Right. The only thing we can say here, David, is that if the sign comes down, we can't approve it going back up.
Right.
So, and that's what our regulations say, and I think that's all we can do in this situation.
You can't grant a waiver of any kind, given like the unique scenario here where it's like,
it's unique. It's unique, always unique because it's a billboard and it doesn't belong there. You know, that's what's unique.
For every non-conforming application we see, we get asked if we can make an exception because it's unique. So we can't. It would just happen with every application. I mean, we're sympathetic. We know you need to maintain your wall, but the problem isn't a problem that this commission can solve for you.
Right. So what is the next step? Do we have to make some sort of motion here, or we don't?
No, this is advisory.
This is just advisory. So
right. So we've advised, right?
Yeah. Yes, we have, Catherine.
I'm sorry, it's late.
Yeah. So yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's speaking? Hi. Sorry, I'm one of the residents with David. Sorry, I was just putting my
baby. I haven't asked for public comment yet.
No, I'm one of the residents with David. I had to put my baby to bed, so I couldn't announce myself earlier. Sorry. I just wanted to suggest an alternative that has been considered, perhaps that he may be amenable to, but I don't know where it sits within the commission, is if he took the billboard down, could he have a painted sign of the same size and shape on the building?
No.
I'm only asking as I'm raising it. I don't know if there's an artistic angle there that sits within the commission. So, Catherine, I appreciate it. I just am trying to be creative to solve the situation here. Trying to.
And I appreciate that, but we've had painted signs as well. And the same thing, when those are gone, they can't go back. I lived in a building which had a huge Blanchard sign down the side of it. It was painted on the brick. And when that went away, that was the end of it.
Yeah, and no one with this commission could not approve putting another one back.
Right.
So.
Okay. No, I thought I'd just raise if there was any other alternative path.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's worth a try.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, we're sorry that we can't help you guys, David, on this issue, but it's not really a problem this commission can solve. So,
yeah. And unfortunately, you're dealing with a really tough thing in there. Tough guy. We feel for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you guys.
Yeah.
Good luck, David.
Yeah.
And we're so sorry. We can't do anything.
So
thanks for trying though. You never know.
Yeah.
That's right. You had to give it a try.
So, Mary, I'm sorry, I don't have the agenda right in front of me.
We are done with design review, so on to administrative.
Right.
And I'll just say again that 145 Worcester Street and 95 Berkeley Street were both added to administrative review.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You can tell a lot of people are spending a lot of time at home because the administrative review is very long.
Huge.
I have a question about the very last one. Mm-hmm. You say, you never mention a mortar usually, but this time you say type O mortar, mm-hmm. Which the historic mortar would have been lime putty, right? Or mm-hmm. a lime Portland, which is not type O. Or am I wrong about that?
Type O we had determined was appropriate for the district because it's richer in lime.
Oh, okay. I didn't remember that. Thank you. Or maybe I didn't know that.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with type O mortar either, so.
but that's the. And type O is part lime and part Portland?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You're right. And I think it's even come up before. Mm-hmm.
John, type O is the universal donor.
Is it? Oh, ha-ha, got it. Thank you.
Sorry, couldn't help myself.
There you go. Yeah, that's right. Type K. I thought that was the special one because the other ones, remember there's a method where you remember it where it's the letters in, or maybe that is type K. Uh-huh, I see you visited that page on September 14th, so you that's how you know so much. Google busts everybody.
Always.
It's probably in the secretary standards too. But they're getting a little out of date.
So do people need more time to review administrative review?
At Joe's suggestion, I read it earlier. At Joe's demand, I read it earlier.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'll make a motion to approve administrative review. Mary, do we need to mention the ones that are added to it?
If you want to read that into the record, sure.
I don't remember the addresses.
It's 95 Berkeley Street and 145 Worcester Street.
So amendment accepted.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, David seconded. So we'll... we don't take public comment on administrative review, right, Joe?
Correct.
And Mary. So we'll go right to a vote then. John?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Fabian?
Yes.
Catherine?
Yes.
And the chair votes with the motion, so the motion carries. Administrative review is approved. So, and I don't know if Pamela Mason is still out there, but hi, Pamela.
Hi, John. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Former neighbor. So, so are we on to approving minutes?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so.
And John, can you just note that we're not doing, you're not ratifying the minutes for the August 6th subcommittee meeting?
Okay. We are not ratifying the minutes for the August 6th subcommittee meeting.
Thank you.
So would somebody like to move that we accept the minutes?
Sure, I move we accept the minutes.
And I second.
Okay. So I'll start with John.
Yes.
Fabian?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
And Catherine?
Yes.
And the chair votes with the motion. So the minutes are accepted. So we have staff updates.
I'll just note that 5 out of 6 of you responded to the doodle poll for alternate times for the November hearing. I am looking at most likely doing it on either Wednesday, November 4th or Thursday, November 5th. I'm thinking more likely Thursday, November 5th. So I'll send out an email when that's confirmed.
Okay, thanks so much. Go ahead.
Mary, could I weigh in on Thursday
too?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm sorry, I was just too stressed at work today, sorry.
No, you did weigh in. I haven't heard from Diana yet.
No, okay. I didn't.
I got your availability, so thank you.
Mary, I thought for a minute that you were saying that you got 5 out of 6 responses for today's doodle poll request.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, I haven't responded. I'm the deadbeat.
I thought the same thing, John.
I know. I feel so bad because I have to send you guys 100 different doodle polls a day. And every time it's like, oh, it's another one. Sorry.
Yep. Well, no, this is a good one. For BFIT.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're looking to schedule that the third or fourth week of this month. That's all I have for staff updates.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. And thank you, Mary and Joe and Gabby, for great support on our meetings.
Yeah, good job.
Before we close, could I submit a question? Because there are two situations today where we've been asked to do something that that is beyond our remit because other city functions may not have done their job. And I just want to understand why or how often does this happen?
It happens a lot, Fabian.
Okay, well, maybe this is my first baptism of these sorts of cases, but I just find it, you know, very strange that we are expected to help people with security types of issues when there could be completely, you know, solutions that could be far more useful and could impact the entire neighborhood, because X person's, you know, reason for not allowing people on their stoop doesn't send the people away. They just go to somebody else's stoop.
Mm-hmm. Right. Fabian, we've had people come and ask us to have bus stops moved. We've had umpteen requests to have gates put at the bottoms of stoops or at the entrance of garden walks.
I'm just showing my inexperience then.
No, it's you should be asking. And you know, those of us that have been on the commission longer have seen this come before us many times. And we've been consistent, pretty fairly consistent about telling them that we can't solve that problem.
Okay, thank you.
We're sympathetic. I mean, unfortunately for a subcommittee, we just had to address a problem that we shouldn't be addressing.
Mm-hmm.
With the curved sash windows that were, in the subcommittee meeting, the applicant happened to say, even though the windows were in perfect condition, that they had lead on them and they don't want to accept it unless they can be certified lead free. I mean, that should not be a problem that the commission is solving.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they go further and they put it on our heads, you know, as if we're going to be responsible for it.
Well, somebody died, like this, yes.
Yeah, right. Like this guy tonight, the same thing happened yesterday. And people are so desperate, I think, for somebody to pay attention to their problem that they want us to do something. And while, as John said, we have tremendous sympathy, we're not equipped to solve these problems.
Right. Yeah. We're not lead paint experts. We're not qualified to rule on the you know, on issues of health and human safety of that kind. It's outside the expertise of the people on the commission, and it's outside the regulations, really.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We'd be in the wrong to try to guide somebody or take action that we don't have any business doing.
Right. So.
Anyway, I just wonder if, since these situations are occurring where we don't have the information, if we shouldn't have more continuations with the expectation that they bring experts that can tell us definitively one way or the other on those types of decisions, so that it's not on us to determine that, but we can push it to the next meeting.
I'm going to be careful what I say here because we're still on the record. But the problem with that is, and a recent subcommittee, the experts that they come in with are ones that are going to support their position. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, well-known experts around who aren't called in, presumably because they might not support their position. So, you know, I mean, our intention when we made the requirement that you had to have a window expert sign off on demolition of any windows was exactly what you just said. You know, but what's happening is that there are people who seem to have credentials who will support removing historic windows.
I can see how that could happen, but at least we put them through the paces of forcing them to do that.
Mm-hmm. We are, at least with regard to window restoration. But the issue of lead came completely blindsided us. So,
and, you know, kind of along the line of what David suggested, if we had the right agency to refer people to, that would be something, you know, instead mm-hmm. of a continuation, we just say, this is outside of what we're able to do, but go to the department of whatever it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
So
that would be smart.
Least, mm-hmm. If we had that, if we could identify these agencies, if we had help from the city or the state to identify these appropriate organizations, then, you know, okay, that's all we can do.
We
have this happen with sound a lot with HVAC equipment. And, you know, as you know, sound is outside of the commission's purview. And that's something, you know, the commission can approve rooftop HVAC equipment, but it's not it's not up to you to decide if it's going to be too loud or not.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. That's another good example, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
So
there
to
are
be continued,
experts,
I guess, huh?
There are experts in, like, if this were government housing or, you know, federal funded housing, there are experts in those departments who deal with lead all the time because they're trying to protect people who can afford to do abatement. But there's no government agency that protects people, you know, buying $1,000 square foot real estate. Mm-hmm. Right. They expect it to be able to pay for the abatement.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Well,
the problem is 100% because nobody was going to guarantee 100% anything.
Right.
Know?
That's just it. Mm-hmm. And as you know, a mother of tiny children, I mean, you can imagine some little child teething. They chew everything. You know, I've often wondered, what are these kids doing? Licking the walls, chewing? But that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if I were that mother, I wouldn't want to settle for anything less either. It's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the encapsulation, the abatement and encapsulation has been proven and has been accepted, whatever percentage it is, by child agencies like, you know, Office for Children and daycare whatever it's called. You know, I don't think they say it's 100%, but they say it meets our criteria.
But well, anyway, we were
I think we should probably take it for another year.
Yeah. It's late.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
But thank you for finishing early, John. You just showed up the chair of the ZBA, who I was so impressed with.
Great. Thanks, John. So,
motion to close the meeting.
Yeah, great. Thanks, John. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Just say aye. Great. Then thank you very much again, Mary and Joe.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
And Gabby.
Good
night.
Tell Peter S. it was nice to see him.
Yeah, Peter Sanborn.
Yeah. Bye.
Good night, all.
Good night, all.
Bye.